You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea. It's 7:01 on the 23rd of October, 2012. We're ending, coming close to the end of the earth, end of the world, somewhere the Mayan calendar. Marnie may have it, I'm not sure.
I'll look that up.
She'll get right on that. It's the show. Oops, I turned my own mic down. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That is me, and I'm here with the usual suspects, my cohorts in crime. A man, when walking by strangers' houses, often can tell that they've had China chili for dinner if the door is open.
It's true.
I don't know what that means. I mean, a little concerned about that.
It means I could smell what's cooking.
What's cooking?
And it smelled of China chili.
I see. Okay. Her return appearance, a woman who has attended a Madonna concert, lost her voice, and performed a marriage ceremony all within the past week. It's Marnie Ryer. Marnie's back.
How are you doing?
Hi.
I miss my boys.
My God.
Welcome back. Thanks.
Jeez, it feels like it's been forever since you've been here.
No, really a long time.
It really does.
I know.
2 weeks is a long time.
Forever.
Oh, and finally rounding out our cast of idiots, a man who advises you to raid the kids' college fund, pay the extra for showtime, and let the kids pay for college themselves.
It's good advice.
It's Al Perkins.
Sound. I like that.
Prioritize. You know what I mean?
I thought that was funny when I saw that on your Facebook. I'm like, obviously something's really good right now on Showtime you're enjoying.
Oh, Dexter in Homeland. Dexter is back with a vengeance. Like, they had kind of a crappy last season. Not crappy, but subpar for them. And, but Jesus Christ, is it back. And it's scary now.
You'll be... Oh,
I have it too. 58 days, 5 hours, 56 minutes, and 54 seconds from the end of the world. Ooh.
How come their time is different?
Oh, look at...
Well, the Mayans might have been off a little bit anyway.
I think we're in different time zones because it's a difference of like a little over four hours.
Oh.
Yeah. What's your time zone set on that, Marn?
Is mine earlier?
I think now yours ends later. We get a couple more hours.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
We can listen to Prince
1999. So we'll see if it actually happens.
Yeah.
Well, they're actually, what that means is they're coming for you first, Al.
Yeah.
A couple hours later, they're going to come back for Mark.
Well,
if they have room.
But that's because I would be late.
But, well, there is that. That's true.
So that's possibly what it is.
If they have room on the ship for Marnie, they'll come back.
Yeah.
But it only makes sense. The Mayans had to do that. They had to do that, you know, in stages.
Is that a fat joke?
Was that a fat joke? Yeah. I'm not sure what think about that.
Wow.
Like the elevator,
if there's
will
room
only hold,
on this ship, yeah.
The studio will only hold so much weight.
Fuck you, lady. That's what stairs are for.
Well, welcome back.
It's as if you've never
welcome
been gone.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
That same old place that you left or cried about or whatever you did there.
Whatever. Mr. Early.
Yes.
What? How are you?
I am tired.
Oh, really?
I've had a very busy last several days.
That's good. Is it progress? Is it a means to an end?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I had the pleasure of judging a high school speech and debate tournament on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, huh. I saw something on your Facebook about like a...
These kids are way too fucking smart for their own good.
Oh, really?
To the point where they're annoying.
Okay.
You know? Like, I would go in... Now, it's been a long time since I've done this, either... competed in speech and debate, obviously it's been over 20 years, or even judged it, and so I'm trying to...
Yeah, because I wouldn't consider any part of this speech or debate for this show. None of it.
No. And so I get in there, and I'm in there, I get thrown into the fire, and one of the kids says, excuse me, sir.
Sir?
Before we begin, can I ask you what your judging paradigm is? And I'm like, what the fuck did he just say, my judging paradigm? I'm like... Three shoe fly, the bird, his eye is on the sparrow? I'm just like, well, I don't know what
you didn't have
about.
A rubric ready?
No. So I had to pick it up on the fly, and these kids are using words I don't know.
Well,
and
that you could come up with a paradigm quickly is kind of impressive.
Well, I didn't. The next round I judged, I'm like, this kid is going to ask me for my paradigm, and I'm going to be ready. And so I was after that, but first round I was like, nope. I just said, nope, no paradigm. Just go for it.
Yeah. I'm making it up as I go.
Right. Oh, my God, these kids. And so I started in subsequent rounds, I would give them my paradigm.
Not subsequent rounds.
Yes,
did you
and have... I would I would tell them, you know, if you're speaking so fast I can't understand you, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And I told them, don't just talk for the sake of hearing yourselves talk. If you have 30 seconds left but you're done, just stop.
I'm in there. I get thrown into the fire.
Woo! What happened? I hate when that happens. Stand by. That's a technical.
Oh, my God.
You click on these fucking links on our website, and sometimes they load and sometimes they don't.
That was Buddy.
No, I know. That was Buddy.
That's what I'm like. That was like 5 seconds ago. I remember that.
I'm going on the show with my ventriloquist act later. I'll be in Reno, Boise, and
Paducah. Paducah.
What is going on with people's lives that you're getting invited to high school debate judging?
Well, my friend is a...
Because I've tried to get...
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
I didn't say what was going right.
English is a second language.
Yeah. One of my... good, best and oldest girlfriend, she is their coach at one of the schools. Okay. And they have, like, the biggest team in the state. And for the number of kids that you bring, you have to supply a certain amount of judges.
Oh, okay. So you were there to fill a quota.
Yes.
Oh.
Mm. Did you ever see Rocket Science, speaking of debates?
No.
Cute movie.
Oh,
Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick is a school debater.
Rocket Science? Anna Kendrick? Why do I not know about this?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Why do I not own it?
I don't know, but it's a lot of fun.
Hey, Clayton, don't you think that's weird?
Which part?
Well, they were talking movies, and Buddy didn't know.
Oh, don't worry. Your fill-in used the phrase, I've never heard of that movie.
Yeah,
twice.
A lot. Katie was kind of par for course with me in regards to not knowing.
Love it.
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah.
Good.
Phrases where you was like, I've never heard of that. Oh, I've got one for that list.
Mm.
Gotcha.
So then, of course, I did the AIDS walk on Sunday. So I was just beat. I really...
And you had a last-minute fury of donations. The pledges were off the hook for you.
Saturday, mm-hmm. I raised $860.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Excellent work.
Good for
excellent
you.
Work.
No, don't compliment me because I didn't do anything.
No, but you went on Facebook and you raised money.
If you could figure out to do some sort of a buddieswalk.org, you could quit your job and just get donations. That'd be fantastic.
You could get a lot of Nutter Butters.
Now what?
yeah,
and I'm thinking a bugle.
Well,
now what was your final total?
$1,070.
Oh, okay,
very nice.
And I was finished ninth overall.
Wow,
that's cool.
That's very cool.
I mean, not that it's about me, really.
Yeah.
I did
that all that because last year mine was 1,500, and I was 10th for the year. So I was like, woohoo! But I donated to you.
I decided to sleep.
I was exhausted. Nice. I kept thinking I was going to go, just register my name, give some amount of money, and then I saw a plea from Buddy. I saw a plea for Tim Landis. I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking tired. So,
because wait a minute, didn't you go to? You were at the morning party, weren't you?
No.
Somebody tagged you in a picture, I thought.
I know. Tim Landis did, just to show that he won.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, I know. Everyone. I got full credit for it because mini-me, Jason Carlton, was there.
Right.
And in a dark bar squatting down, he could be me. Sure. You wouldn't fucking know.
Right. There's that.
Good call.
So sleep in for the cure. Because on one of the boxes, I can't remember if it's breast cancer or lymphoma.
Yeah, they do that.
That you can check the box that sleep in for the cure and you just give money. Ooh. Which, you know, that's my answer to everything. Throw money at it.
Right. My friend Jill said the same thing. She said she was sleeping in for the cure. Who? Her kid. Yeah. My friend Jill. Her kid.
I just got startled when I looked up and was being pointed at.
Her kid has a teacher in the Kyrene School District.
Who I hear is pretty.
I hear she is.
Kind of hot.
I hear she's a little devious in a certain way, though.
A little bit.
No, I'm kidding.
We don't talk about that.
For a second, I wasn't sure where we were going, and then I cut off.
No, I was talking about.
Got it, Aaron.
We're talking about Aaron, who.
Oh, so Jill is her mom.
The teacher. Of,
no. Aaron has a student.
And my friend Jill is the student's mom, and they connected
sweet
on Facebook.
Jesus.
And it was
this
like
an episode of Melrose Place.
Right.
Next week, we'll find out who any of these people are.
Or not.
And then the week after that, we'll decide if we care.
<It's all laughs> Too late. What did you start? When did you start waiting that long?
What, to care?
Yeah.
Oh, I still am waiting. I'm caring on a lot of things.
The movie is Rocket Science with Anna Kendrick, school debaters. Very funny. Very, very funny.
Okay, good. Oh, my God. I need to get it. I missed something completely.
Well, just the fact that Marty, from where she's sitting, just did a jump shot and just threw something away, and it just the noise. It was just funny.
My bad.
It was just kind of funny.
I didn't think about it.
So, Buddy, is that the update for you in general?
That's the Reader's Digest version.
Very good. We'll get to more later. Marn, you've been busy. You've been gone.
Well, I've had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Usually I'm like, man, it's been a boring week.
Right, but no.
Well, everybody sit back and have a cocktail. So... First of all,
this is going to be the Marnie show, so I'm not preparing anything.
Not at all.
Marnie
not at
is
all.
Reading from a tablet. I just want you to know.
It's the full-size iPad. It's the full-size iPad.
Not that mini-me.
Not the mini-me.
I wanted to thank Katie June, first of all. I haven't been able to listen to the two shows, but I'm sure that she was absolutely lovely because that's just who Katie June is.
It was a good. She was nervous going into it, but I think she, with about 35 seconds in, she was pretty comfortable.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, she's not shy about stealing people's jobs.
And you're right. 30 seconds that's in funny. Is when she realized, oh, I get it now. There's nothing to be nervous about.
Oh, no.
Right. Good. Well, yeah, thank you, Katie.
It was very cool. It was very cool.
She interrupted me, though. It was rude.
It was great. What? I mean, rude.
Who did not give her a memo?
I don't know. But I will type it up myself.
Well, every time she did it, I was like, I was doing thumbs up for her. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to listen.
We're still on radio.
Great. So I spent 6 days in Minnesota with my love. That was fantastic.
I didn't realize it was 6 days.
Yeah.
It just seemed very quick because I was just watching your posts on Facebook.
Well, and didn't post a bunch on there. I mean, it was yes, but no. Air a little bit. What were you going to say, Mr. Perkins?
No. Seemed like I was just going to comment on him not traveling. Like,
oh, right.
Yeah. But,
I went to Minnesota with her once.
That's right.
For a day.
Well, it was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, like an hour. I mean,
and then I drove her. Then we drove across country.
And then we saw the things.
I missed you. I don't know what the point of your story was.
Did you see the giant ball? Did you guys stop at the giant ball of string?
The twine. No. It was the other way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You should have gone there anyway. Go out of your way.
Well, he had an agenda. I did.
An agenda.
I wanted to get home.
So yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it was actually a fabulous trip. It was the best trip ever. I got to see the Reverend.
Oh, the good Reverend.
The good Reverend. Reverend. We went on a boat trip up and down the Mississippi.
Fred Phelps. What?
Fred, no.
Who's the Reverend?
The Reverend. He used to listen. I think I pissed him off.
Oh, the Reverend. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's been busy, he said, and he doesn't have wireless or internet service out in his garage. Like,
the one time he was...
Oh, my God. What is it, the Unabomber?
No.
Living in a shack?
And now we lost him.
Now?
Yeah. That was it.
I thought we had already lost him.
If we weren't sure before, we're sure now.
Well, bang.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said to say hello and possibly fuck off now.
So when one door closes, you're stuck in a room. That's my motto.
And there's no window. So we went to the Vikes game. That was very exciting. Uh-huh. And we beat Tennessee.
And you're doing very well. We were such pessimists, and your team is doing better than any of ours.
Yeah, I saw on Sunday you won again. Yeah. I was going to text you.
There's that week in between.
Just be happy that I saw something that looked like a football game on Mom's TV. And I noticed that the score, they won. It was like 20. It was huge.
It was decent. Yeah. We won.
But I was going to text you and be like, hey, congrats. And I thought for fucking sure, if I do it, you had it on delay and you wouldn't watch it. And so I didn't.
By the way, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I did watch it much on delay.
Okay. You watch football games on delay?
Well, we have it TiVo'd or DVR'd, whatever, but I don't watch anything else or listen to anything else after the game starts. Like, I won't go on Facebook. The first time that I ever did that, this one.
Yeah, it was the first time
he ever paid attention to any kind of football, and it was the sweetest thing ever. And it was we won. And he sent me a text. He's like, the Vikes won. And I think it was very cute because it was VIKS.
The Vikes
won, you know. And it was, and I thought, oh, it's from Clayton. I can answer this one.
Right.
Oh, fuck. Well, look at that. So, well, we
I
won.
Saved, but I saved you 3 hours.
Oh, no, you didn't. I sat there and watched it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I, because the 10 a.m. game's on Sunday.
Sure.
I'll get up and they'll be 11 a.m. soon as we switch time zones. Or we may have already. So, I don't fucking know.
Next month.
But if I feel myself starting to fall asleep, I'll just hit record and I'll wake up later and watch if it's teams that I like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just don't watch anything else. And then I'm okay with that. So that doesn't bother me at all. But I'm glad that you didn't, because that's. You're the reason that I put everything to the side, just in case. So, thank you.
All right.
But it was fun. We beat the hell out of Tennessee. And sorry, Tyler, if you're a Titans fan,
he's in there.
Sorry if you are.
But they're still having a good season too, right? They're five and two.
They've won two in a row. I think no.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm thinking of Texas, right?
Oh, Texans.
The Houston Texans.
Six and one.
Sorry. I got the T. My T's confused.
Right. They're doing really well.
Tennessee's doing better. They've won, I think, two in a row now. And I think they're on a mini roll, but they started off slow.
Right.
And that roll will be delicious.
Well,
some.
Erin
actually
watched the game, which was very fun. Because usually, like, she comes over on a Sunday and she brings her grading and sits there and just grades and is a part of it and eats the good food and we hang out. And it's nice. But. She actually got into the game being there and was asking really good questions.
And, well done.
And because we were playing so well, thankfully, there were a lot of first downs. And so she kept that, you know, there would all of a sudden be the announcer, you know, at Minnesota, first down. And then everybody, you know, bow, and everyone stands up and does the first down. So she was getting up every time, just loving that. And she turned to me, just giddy as a schoolgirl, and said, "Well, I sure like this first down business." And you know, it was fantastic. It was so cool.
I went to the Cardinals game, and because they suck, they get so excited, and they're so programmed that the only good news you're really ever going to get at a Cardinals game is first down. Right. So the whole stadium stands up and does that little first down dance, which I had never seen before. Right. I was just cracking up about it. But then when they scored a field goal, they all just sat there. I'm like, no, there's a hand gesture for this one, too, and points. You know, this is when you stand up.
You know, the NFL goes overseas once a year, and they take two teams. And next week is it. They're going to London, and I think Texas is one of the teams, to play a game at Wembley Stadium.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll do it in Mexico, you know, a preseason game or something. For the longest time, before they understood NFL, touchdowns would get polite applause, and then the extra point, they went crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Because it looks like soccer. Yes. The extra point looks like soccer.
Right.
Goal! Yeah,
they play those flugelhorns. Yeah, that's what they do.
Well, now that we sound like an orchestra warming up.
So it was wonderful. The leaves were all changing. And
the pictures that you posted, it looked beautiful. Yeah. It really did. Looked great.
The weather was... I thought just a tad chilly when it was 47 and we were on the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And the longest pants that I own are capri pants. So it was a little chilly.
Did they start out as capri pants and you just got taller?
Oh, yeah, because I've grown a lot.
I love it.
Yeah.
They wear bell bottoms. Yeah. And ever since the growth spurt. Yeah.
I haven't grown that much up in years.
Well, I didn't know how old the pants were. Yeah.
That's a good point. They're from sixth grade.
Okay.
We went to Madonna.
Uh-huh.
So let me just, because I saw your post on there, like, am I the only person, as it were, that you know, did not go to Madonna? Well, that was fun. I don't know if you got my text.
Oh, yeah.
We read them live.
We got it.
That you could have done the show and still made it for the concert.
Totally. I'm like, I could have gotten actually with well enough time because she didn't come out until 10:40.
Oh, yeah. 10:40?
10:40.
Oh, no, because he said like at 5 to 10 that you got the message that here she comes. What did they do, just dim the lights and send in a white woman?
They started whatever. It was 10. It was about 10:40.
It was the longest Vogue intro ever.
Yeah.
10:30, 10:40. Well, I think that's because that's when that fucking DJ stopped. Oh, my God.
She was bitter about
the
DJ.
Oh, my God. Well, we're sitting there because and this coming from the person who's always right promptly on time. But, you know, at 8 o'clock, we're there before 8. Go ahead. What?
My favorite one is that it was 9:35 the night of the concert. And here's what you text me. And I still, it's funny. Update on Madonna. Still no Madonna. I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday by now.
Yeah.
It sure feels like it. Hope you're having a good show.
Oh, it did. It was the next day. It was the next week.
Oh.
But sitting in those chairs at U.S. Airways, whatever it's called.
Right.
Really uncomfortable for, what were we there, a total of 5-some hours?
God. Wow.
You know, waiting.
Wow. That's unacceptable.
But apparently everybody knew. Like, everyone had gotten a memo, but a few of us. Because...
I had been told by Barbara Seville, because she had been, somebody she knew had seen her in L.A. and I guess in Vegas, and she already knew that there was like this big long delay into the whole damn show.
Right.
That's
but I don't understand why they do that.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, like, I don't give a shit you want to start at 10:30.
Tell me
but
that.
But entertain me up until
Well, that's a good point, right.
Yeah, there was no opening acts, no nothing.
That DJ.
Oh, God.
That fucking DJ. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around, and honestly, really terrifying because I really felt my age.
Yeah.
Really felt my age because I'm sitting there.
The music
there
is
and I'm
so
like,
loud.
Well, it wasn't that it was boring the shit out of me. But I was like, oh, my God, you know, we're just sitting here now. Where is that goddamn Madonna? And, you know, you just can't figure out. You're like, what's going on? And, like, every time the lights would change, you're like,
No.
So we stopped getting excited right around 9:15. And then
15 minutes before you sent that text.
Right. We were done.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, when she did come out, the show was good.
What amazed me, even after thinking she went on at 10, when we got that vague text, I guess, over the course of the last week, everybody's saying how amazing the show was. And I'm like, I don't care if she shot ping pong balls out of her punani.
Which well, she actually kind of tried to do, which really she shouldn't have. Like when she did the gyrating like a virgin, that was a little weird.
I would not be able to give the show a thumbs up if she, because me, again, right. That when we got that text, that's like my bedtime.
Oh, and the thing was,
I think oftentimes on Tuesdays, I think your bedtime is during this show.
Well, we're approaching it in the next
about
20
minutes. Oh, I was being generous. You know, when I had just that day gone to the doctor to get antibiotics, because, and they said, we don't know if it's bronchitis or if it's a sinus infection. So at 9 o'clock, I had taken my first, you know, antibiotic for the day. And I'm just sitting there like, are we kidding? You know.
Because you already feel like shit.
You already feel kind of crappy. But, you know, I was excited for it. And I was there with Jason and another friend, Holly. And you just, you want to have fun. But it's okay. We're real done here. So anyway, that was exciting. I'm just too old to sit my fat ass in those chairs for about 5 hours and listen to a fucking DJ play techno.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. For $175 bucks a ticket.
Techno music really isn't a lesbian's forte for the most part, I don't
yeah.
think.
Yeah, you it's, boys it's not, tend to no. I don't get it.
I vote no too.
Thank
Big
you.
No.
Thank you.
No, no for me.
Yeah. When I worked at the biz, like I wanted to shoot somebody. A lot.
A lot of the girls who went there DJ were also packing as well. Yeah. If you've ever been to the biz.
And when they take every song and make it sound exactly the same. Yeah. I knew I had gotten old. And it's funny because it's a song about being old. Which sure. Some woman remade The Boys of Summer that didn't understand what The Boys of Summer was about.
Okay.
And so it was this... it's this disco version with this girl singing. And when she gets to I Saw a Deadhead Sticker on a Cadillac and You Never Look Back, like all of a sudden the mainstream is following the sure. Grateful Dead. Oh, you realize how old you are. And I'm like, oh, my God, not only is this girl got no idea, but it's this beat.
Oh, no.
That I was like, oh, my God, now you've taken a really kind of like ironic, fun song sure. and just made it. Why?
Why?
What
Why
is wrong? What is wrong that? With gay yeah. men that you had to do that?
Right. So and not to bore, but I mean, it really the show was good. There were some aspects of it that were surprising to me, and it's that I would have to talk to someone who is a like Barbara Seville, in the like that true Madonna fan kind of thing, because there was a song about like shoot you dead or something like this. I had never heard it, and all I can assume because I'm an idiot with that, you know, like I don't know. That it must be something new that she's coming out with.
Yeah, I don't have the new album, so I'll give that to you.
And well, because it's the MDNA tour, and I put FUCK Madonna on Facebook, and then I promptly took it off because I figured nobody would figure that out.
Right.
You know, like saying FUCK to her.
Yeah.
you know, to that song only, not, you know. But
the
but
lights come up
on,
in the arena, and all of a sudden, Marnie Ryer, please come to the box to the office.
And all of a sudden, there's this like guns and ninja kind of thing, and it was kind of cool. She was kicking the guy's asses and whatever, very choreographed, really choreographed well. But then there was this shooting, and like she's putting a gun like a gangster to this guy's head, and then there's blood spatter and brain matter like on the back. It was weird.
Sounds weird.
It was weird. Madonna.
Did she do Holiday?
Yeah, no,
that's all Al cares about.
No, but the there was like the intro of the music. Like she would do intros to different songs,
did
but
she
not
do
necessarily
Lucky Star?
Perform. No.
No, but Holiday is the one that she used to change. Because as the tours progressed, she did them a little different, and she did Holiday the one time in the military.
Okay.
Like as a
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she used to always change up Holiday and make it fun.
I remember.
And the
that
last
one.
Tour that I saw, the girls were like, put Holiday in this fucking show, or we're not doing it. It was the last ones that Nikki and Donna did as her backup singers.
Okay.
And Nikki and Donna were like, we'll do it, but Holiday comes back.
That's
and so they did Holiday. I guess it was grudgingly on her part, but
okay, well,
so I'm like, put a fun shoot somebody in the head, do what you got to do, right. But give me Holiday.
Oh, and that's fair, but I can't unless I was sleeping during that time, and that could be.
But it's usually some fun big. They do something fun with it, and she adds
not that
to
I
it.
Saw. I saw her like she was political to a degree, but in U.S. Airways, you can't hear if you're on the second level. Like the sound is really quite distorted for a concert for anything.
Oh, that sucks. So $175 for a show that started late and bad sound?
Yeah. The sound in US Airways is always
and
horrible.
You can get this show for free, ladies
right?
and gentlemen.
Please
bad
tune
sound.
In.
Sometimes we're late.
I can save you $175.
That's right.
And I'll do Holiday every fucking time.
Of course you will.
But she got out there and like all of a sudden at 54, she looks great. I mean, no two ways about it. but started like taking off her clothes. And then she laid down on the
stage.
On the piano. Like there was a piano out there and she laid down on that and then she got down on the stage and it was gyrating to Like a Virgin that was sung very slowly. Very, very slowly.
Like the lounge version of Like a Virgin.
Oh, do you remember that? The Blonde Ambition tour where she did it to the music from The Passion of the Christ?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's a really cool one.
Okay. No, I did not see that. The one thing that she did that was that I enjoyed was she started to sing Express Yourself, and then all of a sudden she was singing Born This Way, and you did not hear the transition.
I've seen the footage
because there isn't one.
Right, yeah. But I mean, it was just...
Well, we talked about it here. We played it.
Yeah, but it was just...
Like our first three or four shows, we did that.
I totally remember that. Yeah. But hearing her do that...
Totally remember
that. No, because I was like, there was a big deal made of that.
Right.
But then when she did it, it was just kind of fun because you could tell people couldn't even tell it went into...
Right, they didn't realize...
Right.
And like, wait, were we listening to Express Yourself?
Right, I thought... Or Gaga. And then she's like... And then it was basically like, I'm the queen bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
So right. That was very good.
There was that.
And the last thing is just went... sorry to bore everybody. Went to a dinner kind of thing on Friday or Saturday... with some friends, and one of them listens to the show.
Oh, cool.
And
out of all of these friends, one of them. One, that's good.
The other ones, she listens regularly. She bakes every Tuesday. Like,
like a tie?
Kind of.
I actually don't know how to answer that right now, so I'm just going to avoid it.
I bake every Tuesday, except my watch for it.
Right.
Well, time to get baked. It's 7 o'clock on Tuesday.
And if she's listening, she will either get in the chat room or
text
whatever.
You.
The only way to watch New Girl is when you're baked. Right. Ooh, so, Happy Endings comes on tonight.
In doing the baking, but she and her daughter, who's a freshman in college, they seriously are like following you as far as the whole RuPaul's drag show.
Oh, the drag race,
and,
right?
Yeah, or the drag race. Yeah. And she would stay quiet. She would stay quiet. But I'm telling you, Laura was like, I want to go down there. Like, well, I just want to watch it with them.
Absolutely. Bring it. We had so much fun last night.
Hey, everybody, we're in a bar, but please be quiet.
No. That's his rules.
It's my rule. Fuck yeah! If you're going to the Oscars at Al's house.
But Al's house. Right?
No.
You're in a bar.
But you're going to an event that's solely the event to watch the show.
I don't agree.
Shut the fuck up and let's watch the show. Commercials. Well, then that's why you're not coming.
What if can't they go to the bar? I don't go anywhere anymore.
Well, that's true.
But can't people just go to the bar because they want to be at the bar? What if they're not there for the show?
They can sit on the patio. We're watching the fucking show inside. We got 2 hours. Is all we need.
2 hours,
and there you have it.
Actually, it's an hour and a half because you've got the show Drag Race, and then 30 minutes is Untucked, which is the behind the scenes footage of the dinner.
I would tape that and edit it down, but then nobody gets a cigarette break.
Yeah, but
no, we do cigarette breaks, we do trivia, we give away drinks, we have fun. No, it's fun. We had we had a really good time last night. That's on my list of things to talk about too. By the way,
very cool. So anyway, that was she, and because people hear you, and you know this just from doing all kinds of other things in the community, they think they know you.
Right.
Right. And so her daughter, who's the freshman up in at NAU, as far as she's concerned, she just knows you. And
well, she should just drive 2 fucking hours down the hill and come see us, goddammit, next Monday night.
There you go. So it could happen. But anyway, the end.
Well, wow. Well, 17 minutes of updates from Marty. Thank you.
Well, hey, by the way, that covers since April for me. Because usually,
that's a minute per day.
That's right. Because usually I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's it. I'm
payroll.
Good.
Whatever. Yeah. But
did you get payroll done, though?
It's never done. Trust me. It's never.
We got paid today.
Yeah, but it's never done.
Otherwise, you're not getting. Yeah. Payday should always come back.
That's true. So.
No, but every time I ever talk to her, what are you doing? Payroll. It's always. It's the perpetual.
It in theory, doesn't start again until the first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. I got
exciting.
I got your back on that one.
Al, updates from you?
Again, worked a lot, which I'm very grateful for. I got measured for a pool.
Shut up! Yeah, really?
Yeah, we got the plans are drawn up.
Wow.
Who did you end up going with?
Shasta so far.
Okay.
We'll see if the money part comes through. But so
that's big. I didn't realize you were.
Yeah, I did that yesterday. It took 3 hours. They, you know, I read their little thing and they said, well, expect the person to come and expect like a 2-hour meeting. It was really 3 hours.
Okay.
Simple, less is more, but for a little bit more money, I got a lot more pool.
Okay.
So now we have to negotiate because You know, I live in the 1940s, so I have one wire bringing my electricity across my backyard to my house. So you got to stay like 10 feet away from that. Mm-hmm. So this pool may be in someone else's yard to make up for that.
Right, but as far as you're concerned, you'll take the garage down and put the pool there if you had
to. That garage is toast. Like,
let's get the Dodge out.
I'll get my truck out of there first.
Yeah, good idea to remove things that may be valuable.
Can we do that first? Okay,
good. Because I won't care. I'll be like, bulldoze the fucker. I don't care.
I don't give a shit what's in there.
Nest of egrets. I don't care. Kill them.
They're on the list. I don't give a shit.
Fuck you, Pelican Brief. Anyways. So the lady did it. She was very nice, and she's measuring everything out. And I told her, I'm like, and she was so funny with like wanting to do landscaping. I'm like, you can concrete the whole fucking yard.
Yeah. Right. Cool deck everything. I don't care.
No, cool decking is very expensive.
It's very expensive.
Oh, wow, really?
But then I found out that what's expensive about it is the concrete. What you put on top of it is kind of nominal, but that fucking concrete.
It's a lot.
Ooh, you got to start sleeping with people that make concrete. Is it? It's just bad oatmeal, right?
I mean,
as far as I know.
In your neighborhood, you should be able to find people like
there
that.
There should be someone. Yeah. So that was exciting. And then my movie tip for the week is Seven Psychopaths. I got to see that. Christopher Walken, really, really, really good.
Gosh, I like him a lot.
Probably the best.
I didn't know he was in anything.
The best Christopher Walken role in a long time. And it's straight up comedy. He is doing straight up. Made me snort. Like, I actually snorted. The whole movie is not as... My hopes are too high because it's the guy that did In Bruges, and I love that movie. This was a little bit of a letdown. It's not quite as clever as In Bruges.
You're two for two.
Yeah, but Seven Psychopaths is very, very funny. Like, Christopher... I mean, seriously, I snorted. I couldn't even stand it. Movie within a movie. A little too clever at times. Like, and I know, what's the word that you don't like? You don't like
quirky.
I thought it was moist.
No, but
I love moist.
Okay,
but it's usually women that don't like moist.
I am moist now.
John Breen hates moist. I used to say it all
so
the time.
Jason. Yeah, I say it, that
the
mound.
Word, moist panties. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's how you that almost somebody. Every woman turns off there. So that was, it was exciting. So I had like a little luncheon thing. Oh, and the big news is Kara had her baby.
Kara.
Oh,
we're gonna say like about 6:20 according to the text. Yeah. She had a boy, Maximus Aurelius David Faulkner.
Nice,
beautiful name,
big name. And as for the last text, the baby was healthy, so
everything's good. Wonderful. That's so fun.
Future
fantastic.
Listener Maximilius Faulkner is
future. If we're on that one,
wow,
Maximus. I see. I said it wrong already. Maximus Aurelius David Faulkner.
You said it right the first time.
Oh,
I think so,
you say Max.
Yeah. Maximus.
Max Faulkner. Doesn't that sound like a broker or a stock?
Yeah, it does. Max Faulkner.
That sounds like a writer.
And now Max Faulkner with the news.
Right, exactly. It's going to rain!
Apparently, not just
in my head, he's black.
That,
okay,
just,
so Tyler... Tyler has a question for Buddy and I.
Oh, go.
Did we watch American Horror Story?
Oh my God. I actually have something on that. For me,
okay.
I just saw a clip. Jessica Lange was on Ellen this week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just want to watch it because her character of that fucked up nun.
Oh.
Oh, you should have watched it last year with her fucked up. I mean, she's phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
She's the whole reason to watch
it. I just saw this little clip where she's like, oh, yes, we're going to do it one of two ways, the ugly way or the good way. And I can. And I was like, oh, I was willing to do whatever Jessica Lange said. It was crazy.
First of all, of course, I watched it. And yeah, I have lots of opinions.
Yeah. So yes, we watch. I have to say, I am strangely turned on at all times by Evan Peters. He was getting deloused with a hose.
Yes.
And I found it strangely erotic.
Sure, that is not strange. Not strange.
My attraction to him knows no. There is no boundaries.
No boundaries.
It goes everywhere, ugly and grim.
Hey, you don't have to explain yourself to me. You're in safe. This is a safe space.
This is a safe space.
Got it.
To talk about my love and all things unnatural with Evan Peters.
Well, as you may know, I sort of have been on this anti Ryan Murphy crusade.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Nip Tuck. I'm on the record as thinking Glee is ridiculous, and you know that I'm not crazy about the new normal. Love American Horror Story. It's, you know, let me just state that. I love it. I love the season opener. What is starting to
pardon me.
Make me even not like Ryan Murphy even more, other than the fact that he thinks he's a comedy writer and he's not, is I think he takes the easy way out in just creating and writing characters who, they're just all going to be fucking crazy. And that takes the responsibility away from really developing characters who maybe have morals, who maybe are conflict. Like, they're all just fucking crazy. And,
oh, but see, but
and
last
anything that happens, you just attribute it to, yeah, you, this person's crazy.
Yeah, but last season they didn't do that. So this scene, I hope they
we'll see. I mean, one episode. I could be wrong. But I'm like, okay, so everyone's just going to be unpredictable, crazy, retarded, whatever.
Oh, I heard a new word.
Oh, Ann Coulter called
Ann Coulter's a cunt.
Oh, no, not Ann Coulter.
That's not a new
stupid
word or phrase.
Stupid fucking moronic cunt.
Oh, but
go ahead.
Okay, what's your new word?
Oh, no, it was on RuPaul's Drag Race last night. Somebody called somebody else retarded. She is retarded.
Oh, it was retarded.
It made
all right,
me laugh.
Tyler said Mark Consuelos was crazy, so you got to tell me who Mark Consuelos
is. Mark Consuelos is Kelly Ripa's husband.
I know who
he's an inmate. He had a small part in a couple scenes where he got into the fight with the.
I just know he's a hot Latin guy. It's all I know.
He's the one who started the fight.
Oh, you're that. Oh my God.
Yeah, you didn't recognize.
Oh no, I didn't recognize. I didn't know.
We have so much to talk about in hour two. We are completely off the rails. I have a lot of updates to give you all. So, have you caught up? Can we?
Yeah, whatever.
Got it. All right.
We got 3 hours here.
There's a couple things. Just a brief list, a couple things that I did this week. Still gathering things for the 1 in 10 rummage sale. It's a huge rummage sale. It benefits 1 in 10 and the kids in Q High, which is right down the street from our new studios here.
When is it?
It's on the 3rd of November. It's a Saturday. Yep. So they are acquiring stuff. My mom has cleaned out closets and donated coats and stuff. And B across the street from me is doing it. I've done it. I've cleaned out a bunch of different things. So
may
that's,
we use your truck?
This, yeah, oh, yeah, we've been using my truck, yes.
I said, may I?
Well, sure.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, of course you can. Okay, one of the things that if you haven't seen, I want to make sure people... Did you all look at the video of Katie's ride home? Did
not
you
yet.
See? No, is it posted?
It's posted. It's on... I encourage you to go to our The Show with Clayton McKee Facebook page and see it. It's 8 minutes. I was laughing so hard watching it together. Well, him playing the chase vehicle in case something should have gone wrong. My favorite part was putting it together with the intro and then the credits at the end. I was laughing hysterically, but she just holds the phone and she just smiles at her phone.
Oh my God.
And she's like, "I'm really just taking pictures of myself." It was such a good time.
It was funny.
It was very, very funny.
That's fantastic. I'll have to
And I have written down that it's a good thing that we had talked about her funeral. Because as before she got into the death car, because we had talked about funeral wishes.
That's right.
I'm like, well, it's a good thing we got that covered before she got in the trailer of a bike.
It was just so funny. Okay, so a couple other things, points of business. I've just been busy. I redid the sprinklers at my house. I took care of some stuff for my mom, blah, 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 blah. Normal week for me. White woman problems. Okay, now a few weeks ago, you may recall, the first show in the studio, and I'm only doing this because I said it on the air, and I ordered the goddamn things, so they in today, and I just thought, I'm just going to bring them to the studio for once.
Uh-oh. So these fucking bells. It has to be the bells.
These arrived, and I didn't
Lord. Oh, are you ready? It fell earlier. I wasn't sure if you caught me.
What?
I got a bell, too.
Oh! I heard that.
And I was trying to get a look on my face like, I don't know.
The funny thing about...
But no. I got a sorry bell.
Yeah,
sorry!
So we've got... I ordered these things on eBay. What I didn't realize was these...
Maybe turn your listening devices home. Yeah. I mean, down.
Down,
home.
Yeah.
So I ordered these things off eBay thinking they were going to come from Fresno or LA or some shit. These came from goddamn China, and they came airmail in some box, and it took forever to get them
Was there anyone Chinese in the box?
Not yet. Okay. I haven't found them. I didn't find them.
Diabetes an American product.
Very, very small.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I brought the bells because they were there because, well, I said I was going to bring them. Thought, well, see if we can do it for a week, and we'll move on.
This is from a listener. This is from Lori Haley, a longtime listener.
That's fantastic.
That she left it in my locker at work.
That's funny. Cute. That's really cute. And the other thing, I'm glad I've only got a couple of headlines because I have something else to share with you, and I'm very proud of this, and you all should be.
Gonorrhea?
And I had, no, not anymore. Not since the accident. No.
Good.
No. Where you accidentally swallowed the penicillin.
He got that cream. He got that cream I had
It
heard.
Was a salve or a balm. I'm not
balm.
Sure.
I love
a
balm.
I'm going to, now I realize this is radio and the listeners at home can't see this, but we'll explain this to him. So if I show you all this.
Oh, God.
Oh.
What does that mean to you?
1,600?
We're over 1,700 downloads.
Wow.
So what I showed the cast here is ring your bell.
Woo! Okay, I'm over. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm waiting for him to throw it at somebody.
Well, you can give it back.
Now, does this make it sound more like the Salvation
yes,
Army
it
if
does.
I bring it this way?
Exactly.
Yeah, Christmas. Suddenly.
I was lying in the gutter.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
Yeah, so Joe has just confirmed we are over 1,700 downloads, nice. Which that actually happened. We crossed 1600 while you were gone, but okay. I didn't. Obviously, you were part of the 16, you. So you needed to be here for this.
Thank you.
So I brought. We have cups in Studio A. We can go grab. But I brought this and the chocolate syrup and milk.
Oh,
so we
I
have the
that.
Same
oh,
thing
oh,
that we had before.
So good.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, have mercy.
So good. I just pour it all into my mouth. I don't need cups.
Pour some sugar on me.
So yes. So again, what I am very and I don't know how we've done
fantastic.
It, but I think it's because Al and Buddy seem to know things about movies. We are still very proud to say we are the fastest growing, the largest, we have the most downloads of any show on the Q Talk America Network, and it's just wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're taking pledges.
And in order to keep it running,
and you know, yes. And
during
oddly,
tonight's broadcast of Oklahoma live.
Oddly, last week on NPR, they were doing a pledge drive. And I felt like saying, well, God, maybe we could do a pledge drive. That'd
we need
fantastic.
To get some tote bags to send to people.
We should do that again.
Yeah, and,
we
can,
and then we could give away some Victor Borga DVDs. It'd be fantastic.
For just a $20 donation, you can have a DVD of someone no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, thank you. Because I'm
Victor
like,
Borga?
I was saying the listeners.
Okay, got it.
I like how we act like I don't know who people are.
Well, no, because the way you don't know who Victor Borga is?
Why come would on, you Marnie.
Victor Borga, it was the comedic of. Piano player back in the, he was really popular in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, you're ringing her bell now.
Wow, you don't?
Well, maybe if I saw him.
Well, we'll.
Why don't you give me a picture?
I'll get you a DVD because I'll make a pledge to NPR.
Write that down. How about if I look that up?
Yeah, you can. Oh, he's all over.
I will.
He's all over.
Okay.
Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to do this little commercial because we actually have a sponsor. Well, I hope sports is going to be short, buddy.
We can be as short as
stand by. Here we go. AdamMail.com. Now you can get 50% off just about any item. That's right, guys. 50% off, but that's not all.
Tell me more.
When you choose one item at 50% off,
more.
You'll also receive 3 videos, all male, sorry, Marnie, all male DVDs that are sure to get you in the mood. And to top it off, we'll throw in free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. I didn't write this copy, by the way. If you are on the website to get your 50% off, enter the coupon code QTALK1, and that's QTALK, the number one, at your checkout, and you will receive 50% off plus your DVDs, and they'll all be shipped to you free of charge.
In a very discreet brown paper wrapping.
Here's our brief headlines on this Tuesday night, the 23rd of October, 2012. Oh, Lord. Sandra Bullock gets naked in the shower with Chelsea Handler. A New York man recovers a watch stolen in 1959, and Donna the Deer Lady fears for the placement of the deer crossing signs.
I keep thinking that's a joke, and it's real every time I read it.
It's exactly, it is.
Every time I open that story, I open
these space. Stories and more dribble coming from all of us on Q Talk America. And that's news.
I felt inspired just saying news.
So, I don't know if anybody else. Do you watch Chelsea lately? Chelsea Handler show.
Yeah, lately.
Did you see the Monday night premiere of her new? Because you're in the new studio. They're in the all new studio, and it was the season premiere of her.
Fucking copycats.
Do they have bells?
No, they.
See?
We don't get them. So it was fantastic. I DVR Chelsea Handler all the time, so I happened to catch it. She moved into the studio when they did the Tonight Show and Conan O'Brien was going to take over and they built that fantastic, amazing studio for him on the Universal lot. Then obviously Jay Leno came back, that whole thing. Well, then the studio apparently has been sitting. So that's where Chelsea is now.
Oh, wow.
So she's in a huge studio. But the cool thing was, pardon me, and I think you will have noticed this if you watch the ones from this week.
No, I haven't.
Whatever those fucking cameras that are on them, it is the most incredible. Even on my flat screen, your TV, it's going to look like you're sitting on stage with her. But it's amazing. The picture is incredible. So the cameras that they had, which I remember when Conan was going to do the Tonight Show, they went through and did a whole interview thing on him about the state-of-the-art studio and the lighting and the cameras and all that bullshit. Well, now Chelsea Handler has it.
Wow.
And it is phenomenal.
Yes. I don't think she's the best candidate for really honest cameras.
No, I know.
But
because I'd be like, God,
it is phenomenal.
God.
No, it's... No,
smear that camera with some mayonnaise.
I noticed that she was lit. She was lit a little different. I don't mean drunk, but I mean just like little lighting. But like everybody else on the panel, Lonnie Love and Ross Matthews and everybody looked phenomenal. And then when Jennifer Aniston came out,
well, there you go.
It was
and her skin's great. Literally made of cocoa butter.
So if you've not seen it, or if you and I looked on YouTube, they don't even have it on YouTube. They don't have it on E's website. What happens is the speed actress, Sandra Bullock, comes out and they do a skit at the beginning of the show where they're both, Chelsea Handler's in a shower and they're nude in the shower. And the funny part about this is Chelsea'd never done a nude scene before ever and thought you actually had to be nude. So Sandra Bullock walks out in pasties and a thong and she's like, hi, you can wear this and they'll get away with it. But Chelsea Handler did it completely nude, not knowing. So the clip is, the way it is that she's there to deliver a message from Oprah Winfrey, explaining that that Chelsea Handler has the responsibility of being a respectable talk show host. And this comes directly from Oprah's mouth. And I tried to get an audio clip of this, but this was funny. Sandra Bullock is standing there looking at her going, this comes from Oprah's mouth to my ear, to my mouth, out my mouth, into your ear, down your body, out your vagina, up my vagina, and out my ass. The overall theme of the message is that Chelsea Handler has become a huge disappointment and that she's the only one on late night TV that actually can save it something to do with being a late night talk show host. She also has been told that she has to lay off the booze and she has to stop sleeping with her guests. Oh. Sandra Bullock says, the only reason I've not been on your show is because I don't want to sleep with you. Chelsea replied, I don't sleep with that many anymore, just some of the rappers.
Poor Sandy Bullock.
It was.
She won an Oscar for The Blind Side, yet you're still referring to her as the speed actress.
Well, that's all I thought of, too. Was that's really the speed actress? That's what the actress?
Copy, whatever news site I stole this off of, it's what it said.
Wow, that's
But it was
true.
Funny. It was just, the whole seat was very, very funny, very cute. Okay, so a New York man whose gold watch was stolen 53 years ago when he was
Get
in the Navy.
It.
He recovered the timepiece after it reappeared in Vegas.
Don't believe it.
Endicott, New York, is where this guy lives, said that in 1959, he briefly left his watch on a sink at a military base in Virginia.
Likely story.
And then it was stolen.
Well, he gave a hand job in the toilet.
What time did he do that at? Oh, yeah, he didn't know.
He didn't know. He got a call last...
Money made a funny.
He got a call last month from a Vegas man who found the box and a watch of things that an old sailor had pawned.
A watch of things?
A box of things.
Okay.
That a bunch of sailors had pawned. The odd thing about this story is it says that the items that sailors had pawned years ago at his late mother's guest house.
What the heck?
Were they trading? They were trading trinkets for sex.
Now I need to know. Was there a cardboard canoe anywhere in this story?
Oh my God,
Marty missed the cardboard bike story. You missed that.
My God. So
Jesus.
Maura was trying to tell me about some cardboard canoe. That's why I'm like, oh, here we go.
The canoe was not. He thought the canoe was the focal point. The bike was the focal point.
I'm sorry. But the canoe stole the whole fucking show. And now we've got sailors pawning things in some guy's mother's house.
The canoe gets top billing in
this story.
But
only sailors came through this house to pawn their things.
So he got the watch back because the guy found his name, searched him, found him, and he got the goddamn thing back.
All right, this used to be a canoe.
You still got the damn thing.
Okay.
This was made over from
my God.
The survivors of a cardboard canoe together and built bike.
And built the bike?
Okay. God.
Where did the cardboard canoe come from?
It's what they made first. They got the first way to get down the Ticonderoga. Then they switched because they realized that, cardboard canoes don't float. Let's try a bicycle.
It did float. Shut up. The deal was...
There were no survivors.
Cardboard canoe.
I will not apologize for art.
And then Joe told us that in some science class, or I use the word science loosely, they built cardboard canoes, and whoever's lasted the longest won the competition.
And we assume Joe won because he's still alive.
Because he, yeah.
Okay.
He was
or
the only one.
Swim.
He was the only one crying at the memorial.
I'll never let go. No, the deal was this guy saw a video of a contest where they made these canoes and they floated and they worked perfectly. So in his psychosis, he decided there's got to be a way that I can use this technology, and he figured out how to take cardboard and literally make it into a functioning bike. And
they're $15.
In a bike or a canoe?
They're $9.
Go on to the next story.
Okay.
Just listen to last week.
You'll get a recap from last week. We don't need to rehash it.
Listen to last week.
Oh, okay. Harrison's
Thank you for trying.
Harrison's drinking every time we ring the bell.
Oh!
She's drunk.
Yeah. I have not yet begun
to
ring.
By the way, did you see the latest text from Hillary thing where Mitt Romney sends a text to her and says, what should I do? And she says, start drinking.
find out where Syria is.
Yes.
Right. Oh,
funny
story. Okay, seriously. This final story and headlines, then we're going to go to our sports. Donna, a self-proclaimed animal lover, called a North Dakota radio morning show where she called to vent about the newly placed deer crossing signs. Donna believed that the signs were for deer to acknowledge as where they were to cross.
Oh.
She couldn't understand why the Department of Transportation would put signs up on the most dangerous part of the road.
Mm-hmm. Why are we encouraging deer to cross at the interstate? It seems to me that so irresponsible of us to allow these deer crossings to be in areas
drunk.
Where these deer are so likely to be struck by oncoming traffic.
When the morning show posted the interview under the name Donna the Deer Lady, her interview went viral. She later called up for a follow-up interview, and the host explained to her that it was for the drivers to be aware that that was the most likely area where deer crossed the road.
Oh.
Embarrassed, Donna told the radio host, "In my defense, I grew up in a really small North Dakota town."
Oh. That was full of deer crossings, I'm sure.
And you're right, buddy. She was
I thought that was very, very
early
funny.
Morning when she left that message.
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yeah. Right.
But she called in live.
She was just
they should
home.
Have a drunk driver named Donna go by here every fucking
she
day.
Sounded a little bit like she sounded a little bit like Al Perkins after a long shift at the restaurant.
It could have been. I don't know.
I know what that music is. It's time for sports. Giants and Tigers to square off in World Series. Indiana has the fever for a WNBA crown. Boxer wins his first fight after coming out.
Oh, he won!
Oh, yes!
And the Gay Games turns 30, immediately laments the loss of its youth. Those are your headlines.
Sports!
I thought you were going to say the Gay Games turns 30 starts to worry if it's fat.
Well, it started at 27. It will be the Motor City against the City by the Bay Thursday night when the Major League Baseball's World Series begins. The San Francisco Giants overcame a 3-1 series deficit against the St. Louis Cardinals to win the National League pennant, and they will face the Detroit Tigers, winners in the American League. This will be the 19th appearance in the Fall Classic for the Giants, who've won 6 World Series titles. The Tigers, meanwhile, have won it all 4 times and are making their 11th trip to the series.
Oh, wow.
I, myself, am rooting for the Tigers. I don't know about the rest of you.
I would actually agree with that.
Yeah.
I was in San Francisco when the Giants won 2 years ago now.
2 years ago, yeah.
That was so much
fun. 2 or 3 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, you're
2010.
Right.
2010. And it was so much fun. I mean, the city just erupted, and it was great.
Wouldn't it be fun to live in a town that won championships?
Yeah, right? But, you know, the thing...
Well, can you imagine?
The Suns won in the early 90s.
You know,
no, they didn't. They lost.
What?
No, they did.
No, they lost. They lost
like
horribly in the last part.
That's like saying that the Vikings have won.
Suns fever was everywhere.
Yeah, and then it broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
I don't pay attention.
But to see Detroit like do well, I just think would be...
I remember when I was a kid, the Tigers won in 84, and they haven't... I don't think they've been back since then. Even to the World Series since 84.
No, because the Twins knocked them out
and, you know,
2 years ago? 3 years ago?
You got to just pull for Detroit anyway.
No,
and
exactly.
No matter what it is. If Detroit's involved in something, just wish them
well. Yeah, wish
and,
them well.
And Michael Moore is so excited right now. He doesn't know what to do with himself, I'm sure.
All right. Tamika Catchings finally has the one title that was missing from her incredible basketball resume, a WNBA championship. On Sunday, Catchings won the missing piece to complete her brilliant career. She scored 25 points to help the Indiana Fever win their first WNBA title with an 87-78 victory over the Minnesota Lynx.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Minnesota sucks in every sport.
Yes. Catchings, who was the MVP of the finals, averaged 24.8 points in the series, which the Fever won 3-1 over the defending champions. The Fever won even though number 2 scorer Katie Douglas missed most of the series with a severely sprained ankle. Douglas checked in with 3.2 seconds left to a loud ovation. Minnesota was trying to become the first team to repeat since Los Angeles in 2002. I will turn this car around right now if you guys do not. What is going on here?
You're reading sports.
Okay, that's what's happening.
You're reading to me, as always.
Okay. All right. Featherweight boxer Orlando Cruz, who came out of
feathers.
The closet several weeks ago,
Boas,
won his first match as an openly gay boxer Friday night in Kissimmee, Florida.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
I know. Jesus,
really?
The story, if he's not a featherweight, he's in Kissimmee. I mean, this guy's
so
getting fuck.
Is there a Disney line going on through here?
He beat Jorge Pazos by unanimous decision. Said Cruz Friday after the bout, with his mother seated beside him, quote, "That was my moment, my opportunity, my event." Cruz was touched by the support on display at the Kissimmee Civic Center
Clayton.
Outside Orlando, the latest in a continual outpouring since his announcement 2 weeks ago that made him the first active male athlete in a major sport to come out. He hopes the next stop for him is a shot at a world title.
Nice.
Yeah, chocolate pretty syrup. Nice.
Well done.
That's very exciting.
Oh, yes, please.
Well done.
One here.
Oh. Stand by. I'm making drinks.
All right. The Federation of Gay Games celebrated its 30th anniversary last weekend in Los Angeles. The first Gay Games took place in San Francisco August and September of 1982. The celebration took place Saturday and Sunday around West Hollywood in Los Angeles and included book readings.
Book readings.
Don't get me started.
Every time I go to West Hollywood, I'm like, God, I hope there's a book reading.
It included book readings of The Front Runner and the David Copay story, as well as a celebration lunch at the House of Blues.
Book reading is code for something.
Now, I want to let you know on a vaguely personal note that The Front Runner is Tim DePlanche's. Okay. I think it's the only book he's ever read.
Probably is. No, I didn't say that. Al said that.
No, it's true. I don't think he's ever read another book, and he loves it, and he loves...
It's a great book.
He loves the author.
Patricia Nell Warren.
Yeah, who I guess was here for an interview in these fine complexes here, and he was so excited, and he demanded to do the interview because...
Demanded?
Because he read one fucking book in his life, and it was hers.
Well, no, she has been...
How did we stir these?
It's
already stirred.
Oh, good.
Do I have one?
Yes, that's yours.
Okay, here's to sports.
Cheers.
You know what? We did that so fast, we actually have time on the clock.
Oh, good. Because I have a funny story.
Yeah. I'd like you to tell one that's funny.
Okay, well, good. We'll start with this one. I have actually, there's going to be another one next time.
Two funny stories.
Next time? Like next week?
Next hour. Okay. So in 1989, and actually this is going to be the precursor to the story in the next hour. Okay. I used to go visit my parents wouldn't come to Arizona to visit me. They would only go to Vegas. So yeah. I would go up to Vegas twice a year and visit them because my father loved Vegas. So that was as close as he was getting.
That's hilarious.
So you just take what you can get. So I would go visit them. We'd have a great time. That's where all the Ruthie drinking stories come in. And so we were there, and my big sports family. Everybody in my family watches a ton. I guess I'm just telling you the story. Everybody in my family loves sports. They watch all sports. They're into all of it. So one day we were sitting there, and I'm like, I want to go down to the casino. And they're like, well, we're just going to watch the baseball game.
Oh, Lord.
And it was like, I think it was the Oakland A's against the Giants that year in 1989.
That would have been 89, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, for two towns in that part of the country, I'm amazed at the athleticism coming out of here. And I was pissing and moaning for the whole first couple of minutes. Like, I want to go to the casino.
Ooh, and then
let's go. And then the earthquake hits, and they stop the game, and my mom's like, well, let's go to the casino. And then we're on the elevator, and she's like, did you wish that on them? But she was just buzzed enough that when she looked at me, she was worried that I was like the Omen, like I was Damien.
Hi, Damien.
Did you wish that on them?
They're here.
That is funny.
So I always say I caused the 1989 earthquake. In Candlestick, do they used to share at Stadium? Is that true?
They were playing in Candlestick. A's play at Oakland Alameda Coliseum. Mm.
Not nearly as exciting of a story, but I'll tell it.
Okay.
When I was back in Missouri, I'd never really knew much about Roy Orbison and his music or anything. So
he's dead.
He's dead.
Still
but the interesting thing was, so I one night I worked at the station, and I took a bunch of Roy Orbison CDs home because I was going to take them from CD and make cassettes out of them so I could have my own library. He died overnight, and it was the only goddamn... They had no Roy Orbison in the station that day. And the program director, Gary Bandy, was so pissed at me because I'd taken these CDs out of... And I'm like, what are the goddamn chances? So he blamed me for Roy Orbison's death.
Oh, my God.
I do, too, now.
I kind of do,
damn
too.
You.
Did they let you continue to live in that radio?
Yes, they did.
I was going to say, I'd be like,
he was
you're
out of Vicks immediately.
And actually, I was forced to stay.
An interesting bit of trivia, but it wasn't on the show. It was we were at a bar one day arguing about like the dangers of Celine Dion singing out loud, and
or beating herself up while she sings.
Yeah,
out loud.
The song that we were talking about was "I Drove All Night," which is really a Roy Orbison song, really written for him. Mm-hmm. And everyone has had a bigger hit than he did with it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really no chance to try again.
No, not really. And in fact, his widow just passed away, if I'm not mistaken, recently.
I need some more milk in this.
Oh, by God.
I know. It is stronger than fuck.
Well, then.
I've been on wine for... I have not had vodka.
Here, mix your own drinks, God damn it.
I have not had vodka in like a month and a half.
You know what's funny is my mom's mom used to have bells, and she would sometimes sit at the table and have a bell, and she would just ring it to see if I would show up.
Oh, well, the best. Do you guys remember?
Hey, Pavlov, how are you?
Yeah.
Okay, now, is anybody old enough to remember when Sorry actually had the bell in there?
Yes.
That I think all parents banned? Because when you landed on someone's thing, you had to ring the bell and say, Sorry!
I don't believe ours had that.
And they played it on the Carol Burnett show.
Yes! It was a Mama's Family.
That's what they used to play. They used to play Parcheesi or they played Sorry. Mm-hmm. And Eunice had the bell for the longest time.
I remember.
But I think Concerned Parents of America, and if it's not a group, it should have been, had that bell taken away because mommy had a hangover. I don't care. You ring that bell one more fucking time, kid.
Bringing it full circle, next week on RuPaul's Drag Race, Vicki Lawrence is on as Mama.
Get out.
She's actually on it next week. Yes, she is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool. Because she actually, they had a clip of it.
And she did drag without makeup. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
Oh, no, you're right.
In the old Carol Burnett shows, all they did was put the wig on her and she walked different. She never wore old lady makeup.
Exactly.
No, that's true.
It was a wig and glasses.
Right, it's true. Because her face looks...
No. I think in Mama's Family she had makeup.
No. On the TV show, probably. I mean. But on the Carol Burnett show, they just put a pair of glasses on her and a gray wig.
Because they didn't have time. It was live.
Right, but that's how convincing she was as an actress that you actually believe she was 70. Like,
right, yeah.
You had to go back and be told, like, she's not wearing old lady makeup. It's just a pair of glasses.
Right.
I love her.
Yeah, that was fun. I loved Mama's Family.
I'm glad she's still alive, apparently.
Yeah, she
yeah. yeah. And she was the youngest.
Harvey
she
Korman,
was
brought, not she was, alive.
She was very young.
She was very
was the
young.
One, oh, yeah. Song that she was,
the night the lights went on Georgia.
21 years old or something,
was
right?
Was that in 1973?
I would say 71, but I'll go with any answer.
For some reason, 73 sex.
She was early 20s when that song came out.
Right, absolutely.
And they hired her because she looked like Carol Burnett. Yeah.
And as I'm mistaken, wasn't Carol originally threatened by her?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, they're fast friends.
She could sing and they looked alike.
Yeah, fantastic. It worked out very well.
That's interesting.
That's a lot of fucking shit about Carol Burnett.
Well, maybe we get her to come in the studio.
That's
why
we're in this age group. Harrison.
It's the end of hour one. Hour two's coming. More drinking and fun and vulgarity with all of us right here on Q Talk America. Please stand by and join us. Or...
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Oh, stand by. What happened, Mark? What happened, Marnie?
Nothing.
Oh, Marnie's drinking the chocolate tequila. Sorry.
No, Marnie just drank tequila.
No, there's a little milk in it. I'm sorry.
Woo!
We're celebrating.
No wonder you're not the bartender.
I never claimed to be the bartender.
Woo!
We're celebrating because we just found out our download numbers are over 1,700 downloads for our show alone. Thank you all, both of you, for downloading all of those shows.
Actually, I've just been sitting at home for the last 2 weeks.
Click, click, click.
My bad.
Tyler and Harrison sitting there.
It's the beginning of hour two, and of course, what that means is it starts our lovely and understated drinking game.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, our drinking word would have to be bell. If I had a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding. That's all I'm saying.
Ring your bell. Ring your bell. Am I singing the right song this time?
I don't even know what the hell song
that is. Oh, and by the way, I have two people that were on my side completely about the Billy Ocean.
All right, now you're like a Republican. You found two other people that were you found two other people that were wrong, so you're all excited?
That upsets me.
She found two scientists also who don't believe in global warming, and she's going to trot them out.
I was going to bring that up in my four things, but whatever.
Is it four things now?
I can it's never always keep track. Been, it's four, four,
well,
four.
And Katie June came in last week with 17 things.
Well, she was making up for lost time.
She was prepared.
So. She was overprepared. She was. Yeah. She was good, though. Yeah, so it's our segment we call four.
It's never four things, though.
It never is.
No, it we
it was
try
never
that.
Meant to be.
No, it was named that.
No, four, but four people, four lists, 40 minutes.
Oh, no, right, four right. lists. So it could have been 78 things.
It was a chance for Marnie and I to have a segment. No! Because you had sports and you had news.
So this is really, I'm stealing the show every week.
Exactly, because for some reason, how is it, you always have a segment. You make it your segment.
Right, I know.
Al was feeling a little gypped on the show, so he needed
sure.
a segment.
He didn't get to talk enough.
Right, so Marnie, do you want to start with your list first?
No.
You got a list? No?
Okay.
Who wants
to
start?
Did she have printouts again?
No. I always have to bring my...
You don't have to bring that. I'll coach you through the clocks.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I
had my pie chart.
But I actually have a list.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Oh, my God.
He always gets the short shift on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's crossing shit off.
Because
Dead air talk now.
No, that I've always... Fuck you, really? No, this, I'm marking out the stuff I've already talked about. I did that, well, already did that. Okay, I've... Bingo. Okay, ready. Who's it, me?
Yep.
Okay.
Here's the couple things on my list. I'm not going to name names as to exactly who it is, but I think... I realize that there's a business in our community. I mean, there's bars, and there's bar owners, and there's people... Everybody's hurting right now with the economy. Everybody's trying to get business, and I get that. And I understand that there's business, but as bar owners, don't steal shit from other... There should be some sort of a code of ethics. I remember this community used to work kind of together, and all the bars used to kind of work together.
I don't remember that day, but sure, go on.
No, I
he has
I remember
memories than we do.
I actually agree.
Like
with
always,
that.
like Winks back years ago. Like Winks and Charlie's worked together. We did shows together. Like on Sunday nights, there would be a show at Charlie's and a show at Winks, and then they would do a number at each respective bar, and you stayed off Missouri because it was a highway to hell. But they would drive back and forth to the bars and do the shows. They would fundraise together. They would do things. Well, I'm learning as of late that there is a couple of bars in town that are, for whatever reason, at odds with each other, and they're I just don't get it. I don't understand why, as a community, that we are not all working together.
What are they stealing?
I'm not. It's
I know. I'm going to need a little bit of specific information.
Entertainers, shows, ideas. That's what they're doing. They're doing shit.
Oh, okay.
And though I realize it's business, and I realize everybody's in it to make money, and I get that completely. But people who are employed by other bars and or entertainers, I think need to have a better. I don't know. Again, it sounds like
I know.
Old.
As far as I know, Barbara Seville works at every bar in this city,
right.
So I don't go.
But that's, and I'm not talking about her at all. But I'm just saying there are. If you start something, like I have a very big allegiance issue. Meaning, if I start something somewhere, I'm going to ride that pretty much until it's dead, and then maybe we'll move it somewhere else, or something's going to happen. I just think if you establish something and you start something,
is somebody doing Drag Race somewhere else?
Do you mean like honor it?
That's
what I was thinking.
That's happening.
Drag Race is happening.
That's happening. That's one thing. But then there's other people that are involved in it who had other shows at certain bars. I'm not naming bars, but all of a sudden they've just we just got a better offer. We're just going to quit you. Where's your allegiance? Where's your support?
Oh, if you get a better offer, everybody's got to make money.
I know. I understand making money,
but
you've got to a degree. You've got to say, okay, well, wait a minute. Am I getting $10 a week extra for this show? And I don't have any idea what monetary funds they're getting. I just have an issue with the fact that you started here. These people supported you, and these people
There's something
are on
to be said for loyalty.
For loyalty, exactly. And I don't care if maybe the lights aren't the best at some place, or maybe this is that, or whatever it is. I just have a very big issue with just dumping and moving on from somebody who has been there who's had your back. I have a problem with that.
I can appreciate that.
That drives me
but
crazy.
But at the same time, if something's like, let's say you're going to call, I'll name names because I don't like, I hate that vague shit. Say what you mean. If you're ripping on somebody, rip on somebody. We can edit it out later.
Oh, I'm not going to edit that.
Like Cobalt, that speaker's been broken for six fucking years.
Right.
So if you think so if I get a show going and somebody says, I can bring you over somewhere else and I'm actually going to get you speakers that work, I'm leaving. That speaker's been broken.
For a long time.
For years. It's been years. Fix the fucking speaker. You know what I mean?
I have an issue with
that. Or you're somewhere where there's a bad stage, and then all of a sudden Cruise and Seventh opens, and Cruise and Seventh has an amazing stage.
And you wouldn't think that to look at it. You wouldn't think that place does, but it does.
I mean, the minute I did a tour, I signed up for a show. I walked through there, and I was like, I want to do drag here. Like, this is an amazing
stage.
That's
where they took over that show for that poor black woman.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that, I mean, I get your thing with Allegiance, but if something's better, you go do it. Like, it's a small town, but if somebody's not going to make the changes where you want them made or pay you what somebody else is going to pay you, then you got to expect to lose them.
I have a little bit of an issue. Well, especially when you pull it on.
Unless your
issue
is with someone that I don't like and you name them, and then I'll be on your side. Like, I don't
like
them either.
No. And again, I'm all about opportunists.
Can you just write it down and hold it up for us?
No. I'm all about an opportunist. If somebody's going to pay you more money, I get that. That's fine. Just like the money we get paid for the show, which is nothing. Anyway,
damn it,
drink, Harrison. But
it's
just one of those things that I have I will stick it out with people, even though it's failing, and I will work, and I will stay, and I will.
But that's not healthy. I mean, so you're going to stay in a drowning ship just because you got on the drowning ship? Oh, no, I don't get that.
I just don't abandon people. I guess that's my issue. I don't abandon.
I mean,
I've been doing this show for 8 months with you people.
Yeah, I won't abandon people, you should abandon.
Well, at least never mind. I don't want to say something really catty and bitchy. And
go ahead.
So say, well, at least around here we can talk. If we go to your event, we can't even talk apparently.
Oh, whatever. So I'm now hosting RuPaul's Drag Race at Apollo's on Monday nights. And the deal is, and it's always driven me crazy,
I led him to the Segway.
That's very good. You're learning 8 months in. If you go somewhere to an event, I don't care if it's a concert, I don't care what it is. If you go to an event and you're there to watch it.
Yeah, I got to agree with this one.
Shut up. Watch the goddamn show. We will talk
or realize I don't really
I still
like,
don't
I but I can say that about that. Movies. You say the same
right,
thing
you,
about movies.
No, everyone, exactly. If you go to a movie theater and you're there to watch a movie,
but that's the only thing on going something. On in that theater that's supposed to be going on is
during
the movie.
During the two hours, people go to an event.
Cuz I went to Apollo, like let's say I don't look at the magazines and I'm like, "Oh, I want to go to drink. I live and I actually do live down the street from Apollo's or Charlie's." Like we'll make
Did
it better.
Did you move? I
Let's
didn't
say
know
it's,
that.
Like, Bunkhouse is at the end of my street.
Exactly.
Let's say I want to go to Bunkhouse and I want to have a drink with a friend and have a conversation. And it's in walking distance.
Sure.
And then you tell me I can't talk because we're all watching some show I've never heard of. And I'd be like, we're just having a conversation.
But here's the thing.
But you can go on the patio.
But why should you have to? If
I know.
We're going to the other extreme.
I realize you
for
are.
For all these examples you're throwing out,
and you're trying to
like,
see how
well,
much,
what about this?
And you're trying to put me in a high school debate team like you did earlier.
Well, my problem with patios in Arizona is I'm going to smoke.
But exactly.
You're going to make me sit outside
go
and
out
smoke,
to
and I don't ever
well,
go to
I've
patios.
Had the same conversation with drag queens who are like, these people who are at the show, they're rude. They're being loud and not watching the show. And I'm like, well, they're at a bar on a Saturday night. Maybe they're out to have fun, and maybe the show is kind of like, hey, it's fun, it's there, but I'm also out to have fun.
Yeah,
so there's both sides of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of times at drag shows that I want to be like, can't Cobalt offer you more money to go do the show over there? Because I don't want to. I'm here at Charlie's.
So, regardless of what these two guys are saying, I'm telling you, if you're coming to RuPaul's Drag Race on a Monday night
and
at
you're
Apollo's,
selling it beautifully,
shut up and watch the show. We give away free drinks.
Apollo
and
should run an ad with that.
I did. Oh. We don't. Trust me. Yes.
But that's like when people and on that same
Mark
topic.
Off my list.
When I have, because I call it an Oscar party, but I tell people it's not a party unless you like the Oscars. And if you come over and you're like, these are too long, these are
it's
boring.
A viewing.
Oh, bye. You're out.
See
like,
ya.
We're not here to debate the
and
Oscars.
And I call this the RuPaul's viewing party, or viewing whatever the fuck it is. So, yeah, still, shut up.
But everybody knows that in my book, Oscars
the other thing
religion.
On my list, and I was telling Jason, who obviously we all know is my roommate, we had a house literally just across the street from me. It was foreclosed on. Somebody came in and bought it, revamped the entire house, threw a lot of money in it, made it one of those high energy efficiency houses with the windows and all that whole stuff. So today, as I was doing other projects in my yard, the new neighbors moved in.
Oh, very nice.
And I'm always nervous. I've been in my house coming up on 12 years, and I'm always nervous because I know pretty much everybody around me. I know the lady across the street, next door, blah, 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 blah. And I'm always nervous when people move into the neighborhood because you never know what you're going to get. Is this the right-wing son of a bitch that's going to be, oh, my God, gays live across the street? Is it going to be, you know, a wonderful young couple who's embracing of everybody? I don't – it's one of those things. So I'm a little nervous at this point, only from the standpoint of they clearly have money, because I know what that house sold for. And judging by the vehicles and everything I can see, they've got something going
kids?
On. So far, no. And I'm hoping they didn't bring those little crumb crunchers with them, because I don't have fucking time for kids on Elm Street.
No, I hear you.
No.
Yeah, I will make it the nightmare on Elm Street if you need me to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need any. Or if they're just tiny enough that I don't have to deal with them, that's fine. But I really don't have time for children on my street. Unfortunately,
kids on the street increases your property value.
Kids on my street are like roadblocks to me.
No, but honestly, when you go looking for houses and you're shopping through a neighborhood, what you want to see is children playing in the street. That means the neighborhood's safe.
That is
a very good sign. If there's no kids outside,
I don't think of it like that.
No, but it means that the neighborhood is safe enough and people are watching each other's kids. If there's kids like playing basketball or doing something in the street outside.
There are oddly,
that's a sign of a healthier neighborhood.
You've walked and stalked in my neighborhood, buddy. My street is a cutoff street, so it's not a through. Like Highland is a through street, all the way through. And there are no kids on my street, but all the other streets have them.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm
good job.
I've done well, right?
But because I checked that with the realtor that I was working with, because I was saying as we were looking at houses, I'm like, oh, there's kids on the street. That's a good sign. He's like, very few people know that's a good sign. That means that the neighborhood is safer.
Did you read something somewhere along the way?
No, it just like where I grew up. Like you knew when you were growing up, if there were kids in the street, that you were kind of in a better neighborhood.
Because I don't like kids, and you know it too. But that's the reality. Just like I don't really care for Mormon people, but if I move onto a cul-de-sac and it's full of Mormons, I know that's probably a safe street.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? My house got broken into after the next door neighbors took down that basketball hoop. Because on a Sunday afternoon, if that basketball hoop had been up, one would have broken into my house. Because there would have been 15 kids there playing basketball.
Right.
And as soon as that basketball hoop went down, my house got broken into.
I didn't realize that was connected. That's interesting. Wow. Okay. Wow. I didn't realize that. By the way, if you're wondering where Marnie is in this conversation, she has left the studio.
She made it to 8:16.
No, this is her second. She's been gone like half the show.
I think she's actually on the phone. I think she actually had to take a business call.
Sorry, Marnie.
It's all right. So that's my list. We're good. Let's move on. Al, buddy, which one?
Well, we've touched on it a few times, so I thought we would just throw it out there for whoever has this on their list.
Okay.
RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm wet for it.
I'm enjoying it. Come join me at Apollo's if you care to.
I watched it actually today. I got up this morning early and watched it.
All right.
And here's the weird thing is.
First day with the new mouth.
I love so many of them that this is going to be a hard season.
It's interesting. And the way that they're doing it by, first of all, being on the team together, which was very interesting.
Very.
And it's a double elimination, which makes it's 6 weeks. And then we have a break, and then we start the regular season at the first of the year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so I'll never see them again.
It's a
Monday
season.
Dinner with Clayton's off.
It's
all
a shortened season. But I've got two favorite teams, Manila and Latrice motherfucking Royale.
She's fantastic.
And then I gotta love me some Nina Flowers and Tammy Brown, because Tammy Brown is just fucking so weird.
She looks like a caricature. Cartoon character. She really does.
I thought she kind of looks a little bit like Claudia B. But she does look also...
I don't see that at all.
She's so weird, but I'm fascinated by her. And she was here once at Apollo's and maybe a few other places. And there's just... I'm like, okay, is she a genius or is she retarded? Either way, she's great.
Retarded.
She is great. I just love her and those looks she gives.
And Coulter-tarded.
But yeah, so I'm very...
And Cunter.
And I have to say that
that's good. I like that.
As much as I love Pandora Box, her attitude was horrible on the short show, so I'm glad they can go home.
Yeah. But I thought last night was very interesting to see it. And then the Untucked was, oh my God.
I haven't seen that yet.
You need to watch it.
Okay, so apparently the Donald thinks he has the October surprise.
I read this today.
Something to do with Barack Obama and cocaine. Whatever.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
What?
Yeah.
That's not at all what I heard. Go ahead, tell yours, I'll tell mine.
Well, that was it.
He may reveal this.
As early as tomorrow, we could hear what his deal is.
That didn't come
I heard that.
Right,
no,
way,
what I heard was, and I read this literally as I was printing out headlines, the three stimulating ones that I brought tonight. His big surprise is he has divorce papers for Michelle and Barack.
Oh, God.
That's what he's got. I'm like, what?
Dude,
I
I wish death on him. I really
wait, what?
What I read, now, you know, obviously, everybody's speculating on all kinds of stuff, but what I read was that Trump has copies of or something to do with divorce papers already drawn up for Michelle and Barack.
Oh. Lord, what?
I am. They're all grabbing at straws.
When is this guy going to just? Slink away.
Implode.
I can't stand that guy.
I always privately hated him until Rosie came out, and I'm like, oh, somebody. Because I thought like the world was on his team, and
for
I'm
a
like,
while they
and I was
the
like, oh,
was.
He's
they
so
were
fucking
because
creepy. And then Rosie O'Donnell came out and said she hated him. I'm like, well, thank God somebody else sees it.
Right.
Yeah. And now everybody does.
I was very concerned.
I think they were just on board with him because he had done so much as flipping in New York and making some things like better as far as
right,
real
then you
estate.
Find out that they hate him.
Well, no, right, 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 right.
Because he takes lovely buildings and turns them into
Okay, so a little a bit back to sports. If you know me, you know that I hated the broadcast duo of Darren Sutton and Mark Grace on Diamondbacks games.
Well,
I,
fortunately,
and most people did, and they're just awful to listen to. It was a circus, it was a clown show, okay. And they both were sort of, you know, told to go away because of their own private problems. Grace and his DUIs, and Darren Sutton with whatever's going on with him. Well, they've announced their replacements for next year, and I and everybody's really excited because Bob Brenly, who was the coach of the Diamondbacks when they won the World Series,
right.
And who came from the broadcast booth to coach the Diamondbacks,
He's
going back into the broadcast booth for the Diamondbacks shows. For the Diamondbacks shows, ring my bell. For next
season. See, the
season,
bells are working better than we thought.
For next season with Steve.
For the time being.
With Steve Berthume, who was a Baseball Tonight analyst for ESPN. So I'm very excited about that. Yay.
I'm trying to picture him. I should just Google him because I can't picture him because I thought I knew who he was, but I realized I don't think I do.
Okay, so where I live is called Osborne Terrace, or so I thought.
I'm familiar.
Because it's had the sign out for
that says
probably
Terrace.
40 years that says Osborne Terrace.
Yes.
Little tiny condo complex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, as I'm leaving to come over here, there's signs on everyone's door about...
there's a name change?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, they changed it a while ago and didn't tell anybody. But there's signs on everyone's door about picking up after your dog and how, you know, if you don't do it, you can be fined by whatever. And it refers to where I live as Le Continental.
Yes, no, you're right because I used to own two condos in there.
Oh, okay.
And so it was Le Continental.
I never heard that.
I own two condos.
Depends on if you're fancy.
Yeah,
I guess so. Okay, just one quick thing.
Mickey?
One quick final thing.
Yes, exactly. Very good.
I am looking to bombard one or two people either via email or at their home addresses with catalogs, fetish porn. Literature, you name it, because I hate these people.
But you know where I live.
If you have ideas,
I know he knows.
If you have ideas for like how to spam people with, you know, like how to cheat on your or send the mail like how to cheat on your lover and their lover will get it in the mail. Send me emails at buddyearly@hotmail.com with your suggestions.
Oh.
I'm a vindictive bitch.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Okay, so wait, now why aren't you scolding him for being vague?
Oh, you don't know these people.
Well, because you said like bars and entertainers.
Well, he's talking about people.
I know, but
you really don't.
You
know
were
them.
Saying people that I, you know. The best part is I won't know who they are even if
I know you won't,
it.
So it didn't matter. Actually, you'll, yeah, no.
That's funny.
I'll tell you later.
So, did you say you didn't have a list?
No, I do. Oh, but
of course,
okay,
you
go. No, you please do yours.
All right. Okay. The
I'm
first,
trying to condense mine.
Just funny. Mine isn't really a. Well, I have a special list for next week's show, but
what?
I'm preparing for next week's show.
All right.
Just things I've heard this week that crack me up. I want to die in an emergency room of a treatable disease like a real American.
What is that from?
I don't remember. Is it from 30? Oh, it's 30 Rock.
Is it? It sounds like a 30 Rock.
Sound like 30 Rock.
It's Kenneth's parents.
Oh, okay.
They want to die in an emergency room of a treatable disease like a normal American. I love that. And they had Ryan Lochte on there as a sex idiot. He was.
That was great.
And he couldn't. He had one line and he fucked it up. Like his line delivery of the one line was off. And you could tell that they had to like cut
to get it right.
You could tell like it was such a uneasy transition from like his back to his front to deliver the line. It was kind of like, I don't know. It was just funny that he's even stupid in that way. Okay, this is three straight weeks of Saturday Night Live just getting it right.
Oh,
Bruno
yeah.
Mars was...
I was amazed. I was
and
really
I was
surprised.
Waiting to see if you'd have that look on your face. You are a bad stalker.
He's amazing
really
just the way he
Bruno,
is.
Bruno Mars was the musical guest and the host of
Saturday
Night Live.
I will find it. I did not know that. How do I not... And my DVR is set to record SNL.
I don't know.
Somehow it didn't do it.
So he was last week. The opening
so
song
adorable.
Was fantastic.
Yes.
Is it Getting Locked Out of Heaven? Is that was
no, 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 no,
no.
The song,
they created a new song.
He
for
created
his opening
a new
monologue.
Song because you can get nominated for an Emmy and win for Best Original Song for TV now in the
oh,
Emmys.
Okay.
Dick in a Box got nominated for Best Song and just the weird ways they get Emmys now. But So he wrote a really funny song for his opening number, and then he performed two songs. And the first one was so goddamn good, and I want to be in Bruno Mars' band. They were dancing
you
and having...
You can't play anything.
So, neither could they. Near as I could tell, all you have to do is figure out that footwork and hold a saxophone.
Oh, so they did the choreography? Like they did? Oh, I love
that.
They
were spectacular. It was so good.
I will so go back and watch that.
He sounded good. He did drag. Mm-hmm. He talked about being a little Filipino girl. And the funny thing about the Filipino girl joke was... I watched the first 5 minutes. I'm like, is he black? Is he Mexican? Like,
he's
what
Hawaiian.
Is he Puerto Rican? Well, yeah. I don't know. According,
more he's about. Like Davina. You don't know.
You don't know. And then he said then he said he was a scared Filipino girl. So I'm like,
Bell.
I'm like, Filipino seems to be the winner. That's the one he admitted to.
Yes, it is. That's right. That's right.
Davina or...
Really? You're going to edit that out?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was gonna
she
tell.
Doesn't even understand what that means when I say a time now. She's been gone for two fucking weeks.
The Catholic Church donated $1 million or contributed $1 million to the anti-gay propositions, the anti-gay marriage propositions. Mm-hmm. So for those...
How are they doing with the Boy Scouts?
Yeah. But this just kills me. They won't move a child molester. They'll let a child molester keep molesting.
Right.
But they'll spend $1 million for anti-gay legislation.
Sure.
You're right.
You know what I mean? They're fucktards.
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
Rutards.
And cuntertards.
We all have our own version of it. I love it.
There's only... If anybody has any information on the propositions that have to do with federal land rights, please send them to me because I was reading through the propositions for the election today. And I'm 114 and 115. I have answers, and the rest I'm confused because I really am not sure. They sound like good ideas, but then I'm worried about. I'm trying to read everything through the filter of the contest. What's her name? Our governor Brewer.
Oh,
I'm trying to read it in terms of Brewer. Like, evil could she do with this?
Absolutely.
And our new movie for Oscar contention, and I think they got bumped up again. They're changing these movie schedules. Is the fracking movie that Matt Damon wrote and Gus Van Sant directs? I wasn't expecting that till next spring, but I guess it's going to be...
What is it?
I can't think what it's called, but it's about fracking and great cast.
But do you know what fracking is?
No.
Fracking is when they go down into the bedrock to extract natural gas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they say that it's all clean and natural and healthy, but then like the earth blows up with fire.
Why have I never heard of this?
Well, wasn't
there issues back east somewhere they were doing that?
And that's a venue. There's a movie. There's
I know
on
what
it
is. Yeah, yeah, of course.
There's a documentary on it.
The city kept like rumbling overnight, and they were like, what the hell?
Yeah, and then
okay, I know now.
Things were like tap water starts on fire. There's a really good documentary, the name of which I can't think of. Hopefully someone in the chat room will help me with that. But all over when I was in New York, and first when I had to do my unfortunate drive across New York State because of a plane problem, and then when we went to the Finger Lakes, I was amazed that every sign said vote no on fracking. So obviously all the rural communities, because they're worried about they have wine, they have crops, they have, you know.
Sure.
This is not uninhabited land. Like, this is the farms of America.
I wonder where they came up with that name. Who? What the hell?
Yeah, because it sounds like something...
like
that you do on a Saturday night.
It's like, it's like, you know, when
you know,
applying makeup is called farting, F-A-R-D-I-N-G. Like there's a
I did not know that.
Farting, yes. Totally, 100%.
Okay.
Look it
never
up.
Heard
well,
that.
So fracking doesn't even sound like what the project is.
So allegedly this movie got bumped up, and Matt Damon wrote it, Gus Van Sant directed it, so you have most of the team from Good Will Hunting back, great cast, and I saw my first trailer for Lincoln.
Oh, I've seen several.
I have not seen a full one where they bring in other characters. Oh, my God. I mean, I know Steven Spielberg is going to find a way to fuck it up because he fucks. the man can't stay out of his own goddamn way.
But I
got to tell you, I was almost in tears watching the trailer. It was so moving.
Wow. Yeah, I will say, not that I don't know if this person is someone to be trusted. Dion Brown apparently saw it and was not like raving over it.
Yeah, well, it's because it's Steven Spielberg that you know that you're going to end up disappointed somewhere.
Do I assume that this is a biography piece?
No, it's a live chat with Lincoln. Yes.
No, shut up. I understand. I'm just saying.
No, it's Steven Spielberg directs The Story of Lincoln. Sally Field is Mary Todd.
I love her.
I want to say
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones is in it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, my boyfriend and hero of any movie, plays Lincoln's son. Now, the only review that I saw said that Sally Field was not in it enough, like as good as she was. She's ending up in that Oscar category of like good role, not enough scenes. and that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is kind of like not in the movie. Yeah. Like he got edited out. Was that what Dion
had said to mention the part about Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Oh, okay. The one review I said. And then I have to tell a story because we go over it. You bring it up every week and I need to get the story straight on it. So I'm going to bore you all for just a second with the Ruthie story for posterity.
All right.
In Vegas, like the stories I'm going to see my parents every 6 months in Vegas. They wouldn't come to Phoenix. We had a big family reunion. My father was all excited because my sisters were going to be there. I was going to be there. There was women that called my mom that weren't really her children. They were coming. We were having this big family reunion. We stayed all in the Tropicana, the island of Las Vegas. Which, and it was one of its eras of being fancy, you know, because it's a slum, then it's fancy, then it's a slum. It was one of its fancy heydays. And my dad would set up a bar, even though there's free liquor downstairs. Any city, any hotel, my dad set up a bar in the room, propped the door open, and that was the meeting place where you would sit somewhere quiet and have drinks.
Okay.
So, and if you met my dad, if you met him for 2 minutes and you told him you liked those beers that you drink all the time, those summer shanties, he would make sure that when we went to the store next, we were stocked to the tits with summer shanty. Like if he heard that someone liked something, he would make sure he had it. The bar in the room was stocked like that.
He probably knew how to get bugles,
so
too.
We all had our own drinks, but my sister was the only one that drank gin.
Okay.
She liked Beefeaters. Nobody else liked gin but my sister. Mm-hmm. So it was always there for her. So we're there for days. There's all these people. You're in, you're out. You're in the casino. You're upstairs in the room drinking. Day three, it's time for like an assessment of the bar situation. And we're like, the gin is gone. And we're like, wait, now we all mix around. Like I'll switch to whiskey. Everybody will switch to vodka. But gin is only my sister's domain. So we're like, what the fuck, Debbie? And she's like, I didn't drink that much. She's like, I'm drinking in the casino. She's like, I haven't come up here that much.
Sure.
And we're like, Beefeater's gone. So then I'm calling her a drunk. My other sister, who was pregnant at the time and couldn't drink, she's calling her a drunk. And we're all just making fun of her like she's a secret lush. Like in a family of alcoholics, you just, woo-hoo, we got a winner. So we're going on and on about it, and she's like pleading her case, like, no, like, and not that we have any shame about drinking, but she wasn't going to go down as she polished off a bottle of gin on her own when no one was looking. So my mom
she would have done it for an audience.
Here's where the story gets too long. My mom and I would go down and play Keno because my mom figured out in the Tropicana that the waitress stand was near the Keno lounge. So she knew that if you sat there, you only had to pay the $1 for Keno, and the game lasts two fucking hours. And the waitress was right there, so you could, for your $1, you could get free drinks.
Love it.
And all you had to do was tip her.
Ruthie thinks. I love
so, it. So, I mean, Ruthie was on it.
I like it.
Resourceful.
Yeah. So we're sitting there.
Where's the closest game to the bar?
Exactly. Because she was a coupon clipper, even in Vegas.
Like it. Yes.
So we're sitting there. And so, you know, and that was one of our things as my mom and I got close in Vegas. We had fought. And when I moved, everybody was like, get the fuck out of town because... we're going to go to war. We fought so much. But in Vegas, we got along perfectly. Okay. We had little drinking moments. We always had little places to go and party, cry at Elvis imitators. Yeah. Like I would do shows for her from the Showboat Hotel and stuff. Yeah. We just had so much fun there. So we're down there in the Keno Lounge, and everybody else is doing their own thing, but she knew that we just wanted to drink. We were just going to pound some liquor for a little while. So we sit down. We buy our dollar ticket. The Keno lady walks by. The waitress walks by. And I said, you know, I'll have a Citron and whatever I was drinking. I was drinking the absolute Citron at the time. And my mom goes, I'll have a gin and tonic. And I'm like, you'll have a what? She's like, a gin and tonic? I'm like, why are you drinking gin and tonic? She's like, it's when I'm drinking upstairs in the room.
Oh.
And I'm like,
nice.
What? She's like, I'm like, we've been making fun of Debbie. Debbie's in the corner of the casino crying, trying to find
she's an AA meeting. Yeah.
I am not an alcoholic.
Like, right. She thinks she's like having blackouts and drinking gin. I'm like, you are letting your daughter go down with the ship. And she's like, we're not going to stop that.
Oh, no. I would have enjoyed her tremendously.
It was was such a funny. So that is the gin story with my mom and throwing my sister on the bus.
I love that.
But the other tonic story with her is we're in Vegas one day and we're watching an Elvis performer sing, and about three drinks in, we're both like, he looks a lot like Elvis. And then by the fourth drink, we're like, I love this guy. And then he starts singing Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And my mom and I are singing back to him, like full throat, doing our best Elvis back to him. And the waitress comes by and asks what we want to drink. My mom's like, I'll have a whiskey and tonic. I'm like, tonic? She's like, oh, add tonic to anything. It tastes like shit. It'll slow you down.
Hey, Clayton, can I have some tonic?
Right? We're out of tonic.
It'll slow you down.
Yeah. What do you just...
I'm kidding.
Just because I don't... The way he portrays my mother... And my mom was never very funny, except for in Vegas with
she
me.
She sounds like she's hilarious.
Sounds like
Everything I've ever heard of her, she sounds fun.
So I'm always trying to repair her image because she was so serious. And
oh, and I certainly mean no disrespect at all. I never had the pleasure of meeting Ruthie.
Yeah, she's always Ruthie.
I'm sure if she could sit in the studio with us right now, she'd just be a good time. Is what I'm.
Oh
thinking.
No, she would just pass judgment and drink.
That's what you do.
She sounds fabulous.
Okay, all right.
Can we get a Ouija board?
Yes.
I
know.
What, buddy?
According to Cinema Blend, as of yesterday, Promised Land is opening in limited release December 28th to qualify for Oscars.
I did get bumped up for Oscars.
It's written by Matt Damon and John Krasinski.
Oh, John Krasinski of The Office
fame. From The Office, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking they had pity-fucked him into a
wasn't
role.
He, in Chuck?
He is no. in the movie.
Or something like that? No?
He is in the movie as well.
I didn't notice. I just knew Matt Damon wrote it, but John Krasinski was in it, and I'm like, well, John Krasinski's pity-fucked his way into a lot of movies now.
Because sure.
he always plays like the side guy in marriage kind of things, or you know, whatever. But I thought he was the lead guy in that Chuck.
You call it Promised Land?
Promised
the TV show.
Land.
Like,
no, Chuck,
no,
no, no, no, no.
I
don't
know,
not same person. I don't know if this is the same line of topic that we're talking about, but Harrison asked you, Al, if it is Gasland. I don't. She's is the movie Gasland. Did she just think it's...
Buddy said it's Promised Land.
Okay, so that... No. Got it.
And I can't get back to the chat room, but I'm I'm trying.
Very, very diligently.
So...
Go, Marnie, what's up?
Well, all of my stuff has to do with marriage amendment stuff. Having been in Minnesota, I've been wearing this ring. Seidel,
how
if
is
we want
Lisa?
To play, pass this around.
How's Lisa?
She's well.
Good.
She's doing very well. All of a sudden, I saw her with this orange plastic band. So it's kind of like, you know, the breast cancer or the, you know, whatever.
Certainly
cause.
Not Live Strong anymore.
No,
not
exactly.
anymore.
No, that's
not
out.
Anymore.
You're right.
Not anymore. Well, they've taken it away. So the it's look, like those, only it's a ring.
It's like a little equality sign
it's
on equality,
it. Equality and then equality for all.
Got it.
Is
okay.
what it
oh,
has.
Oh, or when it's
so,
on the floor.
Still equality for all. And I saw her with this on her thumb. Now, you've met Seidel.
Yeah.
And
blonde
she likes,
woman. She's a woman, right?
But she, yes.
Yes.
And she enjoys bling.
Yes, she does.
She sure does.
I remember that.
And I respect that tremendously. I love that. But she, a lot of diamonds. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then she has this on her thumb.
This little
and I'm
rubber,
trying to figure
ring.
Out why she has this little rubber orange ring on her thumb. Right. And she said, there are some in the car for you and Aaron. And she showed it to us. And it's equality for all because of the amendment in Minnesota concerning basically what the amendment is to say that marriage is between one man and one woman. It's not doing anything else. That's what it's for.
So the ring is against that?
It's against that. It's vote no.
Right.
Okay. So as we were driving around, there were all kinds of, you know, there was one road that I was hoping we would, there was too much traffic. We couldn't back up. But the beautiful homes in Minnesota and all the leaves are changing and it's beautiful. And honest to God, on each side, going down each side of the street, were vote no signs.
Okay.
Which is a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Every house. In front that's of each cool. house. And it was, like, chilling. It was very cool.
How is it polling? Do you know? Like, when you were there?
It sounds like it's kind of still a 50-50 thing. But it's there are so many people.
How could this nation be so 50-50 on so many fucking things?
But it's...
I do find... You're right. I find that very interesting that it's so split. Like, even.
And since 2000. I mean, seriously, since the 2000 election.
And where are they getting these... I don't know. Nobody's called me. So, not about Minnesota thing, but in general. In looking at it, there are so many things about how same-sex marriage affects everybody. And the church, the Catholic Church, as you were pointing out, big deal. You know, they're giving $1 million and they're doing this and that. Well, there are all kinds of signs that you'll see in Minnesota, and I thought this was really interesting. Another Catholic voting no.
Oh, very good.
Very
That's
good.
Nice.
Yeah,
That's
it was
nice.
Pretty fantastic. So there was that.
And you weren't here for the story about the guy that... pretended to be gay for a year. The religious guy that pretended to be gay for a year came out to his parents, only told an aunt and a close friend, and had somebody pose as his boyfriend.
Okay.
Right.
It was very, very interesting, the awakening that he got at the end of it. And his mom ended up joining PFLAG.
Right.
Oh, how cool
so the
is that?
The outcomes of that entire story was fantastic because he realized, I can't imagine you... Quote, you people
choosing.
Living under that oppression.
Right.
So he was
and like running around to be like, ooh, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to choose that.
Yeah.
So there was that, and I just wanted to mention that because I know that it's another state and this and that, but how?
But it's obviously it's a home state to you.
It's a home state to me.
Sure. In Maryland, it's Minnesota, Maryland,
and Maine,
and Maine.
It's all the M's.
And
check on Missouri.
I'm not sure. Montana. I'm not. You know, I don't know.
Well, Montana's got that cool governor.
Okay.
He did one of the. He did the really good speech at the convention.
He wears
the bolo tie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one that dog don't hunt. Like,
right.
One of my favorite expressions. Well, I'd never heard it used enough.
I use it often.
Yeah. No,
it's
I
not
really
used
do.
Enough.
Yeah. I think it's a great expression. Yeah. That dog don't hunt.
That dog don't hunt.
Somebody wanted me to be a top, and I said, honey, that dog don't hunt.
That was organic.
Not a little bit forced.
We had talked about Chris Cluey before, the punter for the Minnesota Vikings.
Uh-huh.
And there are a couple of things. Number one, on October 17th, he was in Vikings punter Chris Cluey is an outspoken advocate of gay marriage, so outspoken that he posed in Out magazine to draw attention to the issue.
Right.
And that is...
I'm not mad at that.
Right. No, he's...
That's...
And when he cuts the hair, it's even cuter.
I'm going to Google this on my own. Thank you very much.
I can send it to you.
I can Google it faster than you can do that.
Anyway, but I didn't get to read through it. There was something interesting where he was... I might be making it up. It was either in... I think it was in this article where they kept asking him, so does this mean you're coming out?
Oh, Lord.
And I don't know if it was here, NPR, or what. And he's like... No. And they're like, well,
no,
what is
that
this?
That question started right away with the first letter. It started on both sides. It was.
But he's been doing this for years.
Gay allies and straight opponents both saying, well, are you going to come out?
No.
And he's like, well, and he sat there and it wasn't like he was defensive or anything else. He's just like, nope. And then as they went on.
Straight ally people, calm the fuck down.
I know,
as they went on, then they tried to ask him the question in a different way.
And I'm a sucker.
And he's like, and I'm still not coming out.
He has long hair in most of these pictures. I'm automatically a sucker.
See, but he is cuter with the short hair. I agree with Al completely.
But I got to agree with you. The long hair.
I'm a sucker for it.
Like, he's hot in this picture.
Even though the new Chanel ads where Brad Pitt clearly loses his mind, or he's still doing lines from The Tree of Life, the world's worst movie. I can't decide which is going on. Because The Tree of Life was that baffling and that stupid. But even in those ads, by the end of it, I'm like, I'd still fuck you.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You're pretty much a head injury talking, and I still fuck you.
And there we have it.
There we have it.
So there was a thing 3 weeks ago.
I know it's missing. This should be chocolate milk.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I think you're. Well, no, it's chocolate tequila, though.
Oh, you said that was in there.
No, brought it with.
I asked questions about stirring. I asked all kinds of follow-up questions.
Oh, no. I didn't realize what you were talking about. So, no, there's the chocolate syrup that Joe brought. I didn't understand. I didn't know.
Yeah, because it was chocolate.
Because I didn't mix it last when we did. Because
you was drunk.
It happens.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't want to add chocolate syrup to this.
A couple weeks ago when I was last here.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It has. There was an article that this Riley Balling had written in the opinion, like op-ed page in the Star Tribune about same-sex marriage and why it affects his marriage, basically. And that's where I don't know if you boys remember that I said something about Twitter and that I had followed Chris Cluey on it. And people were trying to figure out, like, why aren't you responding to this guy? Because he had that first article. And he's like, no. And then he read it some more. No. And then he responded.
Yeah.
and it is such a good, just such a good response. And so if we want to in the third hour.
I opened the bottle.
I'm so glad you did that near a microphone.
But if you want to in the third hour, I can go into that, the differences. It's pretty cool. The how same-sex marriage affects my marriage. It's ignorant.
I'm sure it is, because I can't imagine how anything that I do in my life, how is it going to
affect
yours?
It's about children. It's about children.
Oh, God, of course it is.
I saw an article. Go ahead with what you're saying. I saw an article about in regards to children and gay marriage, too.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, and that's what Cluey
talks
about.
It may be the same thing you're saying.
That's what, there's another article in here that someone else wrote that talks about, like, voting yes on this amendment isn't going to stop gay marriage. And it's not going to stop people from, gay people from having children. And it's not going to do this. So why do it?
It's just one of the, like, at some point you just want to shake people and be like, yeah. Do you want to be on the wrong side of history?
Right.
Because this is going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Oh, there was a Missouri
right.
preacher.
It was fabulous.
Fabulous. He's a reverend doctor.
Yes.
That got up and gave a
speech.
I thought
about you, Clayton.
Yeah. He gave up in Missouri and he gave a speech and it sounded like it was going to be yet another religious person
quoting
the
Bible.
And he turns a page and all of a sudden he says, and segregation. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, I brought the wrong text. And he's like, oh, see, it made sense up until now. All I did was change the word segregation to gay marriage.
Right.
Oh.
And he's like, so that's why this is kind of stupid, because we've already fought this argument and lost once. Why would we fight it again?
Oh.
And he like stands down. It. But when he says segregation, and you got to watch the video, there's an interruption where somebody's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's racist,
wrong.
Right. And they try to interrupt him, but he's like, no, it's okay. I know where I'm going.
And he's like, this is from 19 whatever.
Right.
Not now.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with there's been pictures that have been, again, we reference Facebook so much, of people doing.
I know, Tyler, get on Facebook.
The segregation, pictures of people fighting for the desegregation, all this other bullshit. And they show a picture of then and now against gay marriage.
Yes, like, I've seen it.
Don't you feel stupid or something to that effect?
I have that saved
already,
on here.
Right,
yeah.
We've already been down that road.
We've already done this. Yeah.
There was an article, and I should have printed it, but it was like, I think it was on Google News, something in regards to, I guess they've, and we all know this because hate is taught. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly right.
Oh, and South Pacific. Pulitzer winning prize. You have to be carefully
so
taught.
So kids, like, I guess they did some interview, and I don't want to say it's a poll because it's, you ask kids, what color is the sky? Blue. I love blue. I love blue. It's my favorite blue. Right. But kids don't give a shit.
They don't.
It's like, apparently, in interviews that they've done with kids, having two dads, two moms, single dad, single mom, the kids don't give a shit. The kids are just like, that's dad, that's mom, that's my dad.
Yeah.
It's normal. They don't, the kids.
Well,
again,
the dynamic is so fractured now that.
Are we fracking again?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's so fractured now that to talk to people that, like, in the last debate, they were talking about how do you stop. Like there was a question about outlawing AK-40s, and Romney brought it back to like two parent homes and like a mom and a dad.
Sure.
If you were raised by a mom and a dad, it wouldn't matter what our laws would be about AK-40s. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But then he had to say, but there are good single parent homes and there are family. And then he had to like present it. And then he had to backtrack because there are so few homes anymore that have.
Yes.
The mother, father.
The Leave It to Beaver world.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That it's so fractured. And when you get from the parents' point of view, they're going to look at it from like, oh, Jimmy's mom is gone. But when you look at it from the kids, they're like, well, this kid only has his mother. This one only has his father. This one has two moms. This one's being raised by a grandparent. Like,
sure.
To the kids, there is no one picture that they look at.
Right.
There's a mural now of what's on the wall. It's very strange.
I would venture to guess if kids, let's say 10-year-old kid right now, to look back and see a syndicated repeat of Leave It to Beaver and see this perfect little thing where mom stays home.
Oh, and she mops and heels.
Right. She didn't.
Only in a drag show. Right. Only a man in a dress.
Or a whore.
Right. Is going to mop and heels. Right.
And Barbara Billingsley knew jive.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Marnie,
To go with what Al is saying.
Oh, and
can
I throw out a question?
Yeah.
Just for the chat, in case, I don't know if Aaron's listening tonight, but for Tyler and Aaron, if you're listening, like, let us know, like, the makeup of your kids in your classes as far as, like, parent groups.
That's very interesting,
I'd be curious to hear in two different cities how the parent picture looks.
Sure.
Go ahead,
Are there two? What does it look like? Yeah. The this Riley Balling, a.k.a. Mitt Romney.
I call him Mittens. I think that's fun just to call him Mittens.
I call him Fuck Off.
No, I know, but I think Mittens is just cute.
Just stupid.
Funny.
Many times it's stated,
no caffeine.
What I choose to do in my marriage doesn't affect your marriage. However, same-sex marriage affects all of our marriages. And there are just three different things. First, to explain, private actions have public effects. All our actions, both private and public, define our identity. Being human, we are motivated to impart our identity to future generations, so it becomes all about the kids. As we have seen, and understandably so, people in homosexual relationships are trying to change society to more readily embrace and promote their view of their identity. This is possibly largely due to the disassociation between sexual relationships and procreation. What the fuck is he talking about?
Well, that's been a long time. That according to religious people,
that just seems like blah, blah, blah.
There is no... There is
it's
no
only about procreation.
Right. There is no copulation without procreation. That's the old. Right. That's the old thing. That there is no recreational sex.
Sure. Tell that to Congress.
As soon as
so old school.
Sure.
No, but it
tell
is,
that to Congress.
It is the argument, and then the smart argument back to that is then let us get married, and then we're not having recreational sex either.
Right.
Like that's a good point.
Right. But we're doing it. But then you got to get people to stop cheating, which of course.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-hmm. So he goes on, and it's all about the children and the children and the children. The reason I'm bringing up this...
Martyr is what he's throwing out, right.
Bing, bing. But then at the end, although the backpedaling that Al was talking about, although not all are able to participate in a traditional marriage that yields children. So he kind of beats the hell out of him, and Chloe totally addresses that in here. We all benefit by its establishment in creating strong homes for the next generation with strong direction from self-sacrificing parents. Because apparently it is all about self-fulfillment. That's why we want to get married. Self-fulfillment. The end. That's what they say. This guy but he goes on and it's just about this, it's this rant. And Chloe finally goes and he literally takes it point by point. And it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, what's the self-fulfillment part?
Currently as a society, we have wavered from this traditional motivation of wanting to have children. And many, not all, view marriage as a venue for self-fulfillment. This modern view is directly culpable for the rise in broken homes and is resulting negative effects. Because same-sex marriage is made possible.
It doesn't work. That canoe don't hold water no matter what you make it out of.
You can make it into a bike and you can't ride it.
Let's turn to the chat room for just a second. Tyler says he teaches 10-year-olds and the family backgrounds are so varied. I have students in single family homes, some with a mom only, some with a dad only, and I have kids with both moms and dads.
Do you have any gay parents?
Many kids come from homes with half brothers and half sisters or stepbrothers.
Oh, mixed, yeah, because mixed families are so huge. Sure. I mean, the Bradys were a novelty at one point, but now.
That's true.
Wow. And now when someone, like you guys call each other brother and sister, and now like when you see some point someone's parents were married, who would fucking know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no, there's so many similarities between Marnie and I. I mean, there's, you could easily be related.
Mother.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
And absolutely. Or our mothers could be sisters.
Oh, and that's what I was looking for. Several are also being raised by grandparents or foster parents. Perfect. And in hour three, we'll get into that foster parenting because I have an interesting story on that. The grandparents, foster parenting, that's a big deal. And I think it's very hard for children to hear. And I think it's a kind of bullying that politicians don't realize they're doing when they're talking about this perfect home, perfect environment. You have people that are being raised by grandparents and uncles, or situations change, and all of a sudden you're just putting this burden on the kids. Because you're preaching family values. And
you're telling them they're fucked up.
You're just bullying kids. Yeah, you're telling them they're fucked up.
And you're trying to tell me that there is a perfect environment.
And it's intimidation.
No, there's not.
Not at all. All right.
Serial killers come from every kind of background. And I watch every TV show they make about them.
Me too, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Dexter, Sunday Showtime.
Spend the extra money and let your kid pay for college.
That's it.
Okay, here we go. Our final segment in the an hour or two. Here we go.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Okay, I'm assuming that snapping means he's talking to me. Harrison suggested a question, but it's the only thing I think in the question realm that's off limits. So I'm going to move on. So because
really? There's something's off limits?
Oh,
I don't understand.
I'll never tell you guys. A couple weeks ago, I asked a question and I said there was only one answer that I would like not accept. And
Here?
Yeah, but everybody picked something. It was, anyways. But and I said there was one topic
that
would get...
Was that with Wilkie?
No.
Oh.
It was with us. Okay, so now that we're on this thing of like gays with children and stuff like that, or those of us that are not going to have children, What traditions have been passed down in your family? Like,
all
how will
four
you,
of us
how will you, home. How will you pass down traditions that you love from your family?
Alcoholism.
I pass. Moonshine. God knows, I pass on alcoholism to anybody I meet.
I never pass on alcoholism.
No. Teetotaler. Yes.
Anyway. Yes.
So, what's your favorite family tradition? Because I guess now we're at oral history, since we're not going to, like, nothing's going to shoot out of your cannon.
Nope. That's a good point.
But how old is Erin? Is she still cannon
she's
ready?
She's 33.
Okay. She's cannon ready.
She is. Let's say she's perhaps cannon ready, but not cannon available. She's like, that cannon's closed.
It's got a hood on it.
That cannon
won't
hunt.
Cannon, yeah. That cannon's closed.
It's an innie only.
According to her. So, you know, but as far as, you know, the idea of adopting or this or that, certainly it's, you know, come up. I don't know if that would
I just
happen,
think it's easier for lesbians to just somebody give birth to the child and then not have to fight
sure,
the adoption
have to
shit.
Fight it.
Well,
Katie and Kelly
being a perfect example of that.
But yeah. So what traditions from your family do you think are important that you should pass on? And this into this microphone is the only way you're going to pass them on now.
Right.
Children are not possible.
There are obvious holiday tradition kind of things, this and that. But I think the thing that I would pass down to a child is what my mom so beautifully did with me, and that's talk to me. Just talk to me and about anything and everything and know that I could talk to her in that same way. And I would want to, if I'm answering your question correctly, I'd want to pass that down to
those lines
to
of
a child
those,
in my life.
Those lines of communication.
Yeah, the lines of communication that they're open and being able to laugh and not feel bad about yourself and all of that kind of stuff.
So it's like keeping a part of each other's lives, like you and your mom are clearly very much involved in each other's lives.
Absolutely.
They live together right here.
Yeah.
Well, just because you live with someone doesn't mean you share anything. Right. There's people there's family dynamics where you live together and you
That's very true. Yeah. But just the idea
you
of like some of my absolute favorite memories from little to today are laughing with my mom.
Right.
I mean, just hysterically fucking laughing with
totally.
Die.
Yeah, and except for the 3 years that we were at war, me and my mom, mine are mostly laughing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, where you look back and you can, that's just, to me, that's what it's all about. Because I can have Christmas or Easter or, you know, whatever kind of memories of doing this, that, and the other, but that's not what's going to stick with me as much as being able to laugh with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all.
You know, I wouldn't say anything that my family does is necessary. We do some things with respect to the holidays and whatnot that's kind of the same every year, but I don't think we really call it a tradition. I think we abandoned all traditions when we went westbound and down with the moonshine money out of the South. You know, like abandoned.
But
like,
see, now that's a story
thing.
that could possibly die with you. You have no one to. You know what I mean? There's no one to.
Well, my you pass these oral, anecdotes on
that,
to.
Yeah, that's the oral
yeah,
history.
No,
that
you're absolutely
passed.
Right. It very well could. Although there are offspring.
Oh, good.
Not of me, but of you know one of my siblings.
So call them later and tell them that story.
Oh yeah, we will.
Or have them listen to the show. They can download the story. It.
Yeah, but, yeah. Probably alcoholism is the best tradition my family has. I'm just saying.
If you're
teach
good at something, keep it up.
Teach him how to drink. There you have
oh,
it.
Oh, yes. That's always a part of it.
And apparently absolutely. Tonic slows you down, according to Ruthie.
Well, yeah.
But
you drink less because it tastes like shit.
kind of a serious answer that involves alcoholism, but sure. Not really. Just in my family, there's always been a sense of, you know, you if it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy your life because sure. It could be over tomorrow. So don't, you know, and of course I'm a major worrier, so I'm kind of, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, but I try, you know, do what feels good, do what you want to do with your life. If you've got, you know, $30, but you want to go have a nice steak, go have a steak.
Yep.
And that's what my family's always done. And it's sort of been kind of,
it leads for happy memories and shitty savings, you know,
and,
as I can attest.
And it can be detrimental.
Growing up, my family was always like, we're going to enjoy what we have today and worry about what we don't have tomorrow.
Reckless nights at Durant's.
But I love that. I absolutely love that.
Happy memories and no savings. There's
that's
not.
Right.
I can't find a problem with
that.
Especially because I have no one to leave my money to.
Spend
if
it.
I die
you
penniless,
have money? You have money?
That's my goal, to die penniless. worthless.
Yeah.
You know, that means actually, I got rid of everything.
I remember you saying that.
Maybe $5. Maybe $5 left. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. $5.
And I'm going to leave and a my will creditors that's like, can, and I'd like to leave this too.
My creditors can fight over that $5 fucking dollars.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's exactly
Split
it.
Split that shit up. Mr. McKee.
Some traditions, and oddly, the interesting thing was I was actually thinking in regards to Halloween, where the family home is still in which Marnie and Marnie was there. There was a neighborhood across the street or across the highway actually from us called Tabor Woods, which was the truck that's in your garage, Al. For Halloween, we would all dress up. Somebody, one of my mom or one of her two sisters would drive the truck. We'd load up in the back of the truck and we would trick or treat through that whole thing. That truck to
me.
Isn't
that where your grandparents lived?
I had grandparents, right.
Mike's?
My grandparents, my father's mom lived across the highway, right on my mom's parents. So back when they were kids, they used to like ride horses across the street, all that whole shit back in
the day. Were there deer crossing signs?
There could have been deer crossing.
To lure the deer.
Right, to lure it. Cross here.
Deer crossing.
Yeah. So things like that was fun, but I don't recall that we really had traditions. The only thing that we did have was, like Christmas Eve was done at my grandparents' house. It was there, but time has passed and it's really not important to me as much as it used to be.
Sure.
So what I would say, what I would pass on, and I think, and I try to do this with, and to a fault, I'm guilty of this. I always try to help somebody. Like Michael Mejia, and I try to help Eddie Romero and Carlos and all these people. I try to instill in them, here's how you should do something. This is the, think about it. Like if you're going to build something, measure twice, cut once. Don't fuck up. Just pay attention to what you're doing. Here's the method of what you're doing. And it is really a challenge. I mean, and I'm the first to admit, I miss that entire aspect of my life. And I wondered, I've often wondered that if things were to have been different in my world, if my parents were to have remained together, if my father would have been involved in my life, how many different aspects of my life would have been different had that gone the, quote, traditional way.
And the guy that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, mm-hmm. he filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. We'll have to talk about that.
So that kind of screws that theory.
Yeah, totally.
So, I wonder about that, but what I've tried to instill in everybody that I've tried to help through the years, and I've been screwed over by them and whatever, but I don't let it go, let it be mm-hmm. what it's going to be. I want to help the youth in any aspect, and especially obviously within the gay youth that I'm involved with or I see around town. Mm-hmm. Here's how you fix something. Fix it right. Do it. Think through it. Don't do it half-assed. Don't do it haphazardly. That's what I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to pass on is to, you can fix stuff, you can do it yourself, and you can be self-reliant and self-sufficient.
Well, and you're saying something kind of strong that if may I just add.
Oh, we haven't said that in a while.
I've been out of practice. Thank you. But where you're saying, measure it twice and cut it once and all this, and don't fuck it up, but. I would think that as much as you're being very staunch on that you're okay with people learning.
Oh no, absolutely. Right? But I'm saying the goal is
sounding very staunch on it. The goal is
let's look at it, let's analyze it, let's don't recklessly go into something.
Yes.
Let's look at something and figure out how we're going to accomplish it and go from there.
Right.
If you fuck up, you fuck up.
You fuck up.
I fucked up a million times.
I did just today. About 10 minutes ago.
And counting.
Oh, that was you?
That was
yep,
you.
That
I was wondering
me.
Who that was.
Yep, that
okay.
was
Have we gone through all Al? Have we,
oh, Mr.
Oh,
Brandon.
Oh, we're on Al.
He talks so much, I think he's already answered the question.
mine would be just my family's rule, and they did it with me because they brought me in out of nowhere, is just to bring everybody in, and like my dad was so magnanimous, he just was so out there and involved. And if he met you, what do you drink? What do you do? What do you like? What, what can we put on the TV that's going to make you happy? And, my mom was always kind of like, get these fucking people out of my house.
Because she was looking for gin.
Do you want some tonic?
But they were so inclusive, and it never mattered who was downstairs with me. That are they staying for dinner? Because my family just assumed that you were staying for dinner, and you were going to be part of like a loud conversation with arguing and flinging peas and dirty jokes. And my brother-in-law would tell a dirty joke, my mom would throw peas in and be like, "Stop taunting!" Like, she was always convinced that she was going to live somewhere else with different people that were going to be kinder
every
and
night,
more.
Every yeah. night,
she was going to find these more religious, kinder people in
her
home.
I have a question That's for you funny. In reference to Ruthie in hour three. Okay. I want to ask you about.
But
that.
I mean, it was just that always that feeling of like anybody was welcome in our house, and we were always going to have a good time, and no one was pretending to have a good time. We really were. We were just always, as a family, we were just like the most fun house to go to. Sure. And that's what I always wanted. Like, I love to entertain. I love to have people over. You know, in the Oscars, you got to be kind of quiet, but now we have DVR, so if you talk, we can rewind. You can be forgiven. But it's just that feeling, and that's the
but
thing.
But not
that,
at RuPaul's. Right.
Not at Apollo's on Mondays.
Clearly, they're not going by the same ethic as I was.
Not even a little bit.
But it's just that feeling for people that maybe your family right now is at a point where they don't accept you and stuff like that. You can make your own family. And you can add people in.
I think
you can
we
subtract
all have
people.
Done that.
Yeah.
All four of us, I think, have done that. I mean, but you were fortunate enough, and as was I, and as Marnie is, and I don't really know Buddy's situation as well, but I mean, my father, out of my life, and that's fine. I haven't seen him in 25, 30 years. Who fucking cares? But, you know, you make your family with who's around you. So my mom has been in my life, obviously your mother, and your family was totally. I mean, they.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Okay. Donna Summer Live and More came out in 78. They knew you were gay. So we're good. So they bought into that.
Well, they knew I wasn't deaf.
And Buddy, I in regards to you, and you've probably mentioned it before, but I drink and I have to push a lot of buttons during the show. So, obviously your parents are involved in your life.
My mom,
yeah,
okay,
and you know, I have a brother and sister, and my sister's family. We're pretty close. Yeah. You know, I see them on occasion.
And then beyond that, we've all picked our families. I mean, again, yes, biologically, Marnie is not my sister, but she is.
Oh, right. But I mean, took the like, how many kids I consider nieces and nephews that aren't
Absolutely.
Our cousins
right.
that really
right,
aren't.
Right, right.
And you just stop playing the games anymore. Like, we all like each other. Yeah. We all grew up together. We're all very close.
Right.
We've been having the same fights for 40 as I've been involved with the fights for 45 years. So,
right.
You know, I was brought home 3 days after I was born. So, I've been part of this show since it started for me.
Hand-chosen. Hand-picked by
his parents. Hand-picked. Right.
Wait. Weren't you also delivered?
Yeah, my mom delivered me.
Delivered That's him fantastic. And then hand-picked him.
She was the labor and delivery. So cool. Yeah, she brought me home from work because all the adoptions fell
I love,
through.
That's a great story.
And so she brought me home. That's why I tried to, because she was so stern and so serious that I like to make sure that the oral history goes down, that she was a lot of fun.
Did she steal you?
Yes,
a little bit.
Yeah. I'm a foundling.
She's like, ma'am, I'm sorry, your child died in childbirth.
Because I don't like you.
The reason she got everybody else to hate him is because she used tonic.
So that would be the tradition. That sense of have a good time, enjoy life, like really live it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that was kind of a consensus.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's fantastic.
And Harrison, I have been on.
Oh, Harrison, have a drink.
I've been on Harrison constantly about making your own family. Like,
mm-hmm. You have to. I think I've done a very good job.
I was on a boat in Minnesota, as I said, with 67 people,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I would say probably a good 45 of them were family that I've chosen. So I have just me and mom.
That's the best
and,
way to do right, it. I mean, we can continue this conversation in the third hour because that's the best.
Pick the people you want to be around and make your life the best
that's
you
right.
can do.
Absolutely.
I say that again. I like that.
Pick the people that you like the best and make your life the best it can be.
That's perfect.
And that is it for hour
I'm
two.
Proud of
it's
you for remembering
thank you.
Them.
I'm here to help. It's the show.
The bell ringer.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.